or thunderstorms, the high again in the lower 90s, and we should see heat index readings of at least 100 degrees, and that will come early this afternoon. Tonight it's going to be partly cloudy, and there could be a few more of those scattered showers and thunderstorms in the area, the overnight low in the lower 70s. Now for tomorrow, it's going to be partly sunny, and we have a fairly good chance for some showers throughout the area. The high tomorrow, only near 90, so we're cooling off a little bit. Saturday night, cloudy with a 50-50 chance of showers and thunderstorms around the area, the overnight low near 70. And for Sunday, cloudy skies with a pretty good chance for showers all over St. Louis. The high on Sunday in the mid-80s. Right now, it is partly cloudy and 78 degrees here at WGNU. WGNU news time is now 10 minutes past the hour of 6 o'clock. We have the morning wake-up call with Liz Brown coming up in just a moment here on AM 920 WGNU. If you think it's hot now, just wait till next Tuesday. A three-hour wake-up call special dealing with the racial divisiveness in the St. Louis Fire Department. Liz Brown will examine why the Black Firefighters Organization was formed, which is a story in itself, and why they're shying away from merging with their white counterparts. Do they need each other? This will be the first time that these two organizations have talked about their positions in a public forum. To gain a full understanding about the City Fire Department's internal struggles, be dial side to the wake-up call next Tuesday morning from 6 to 9 for one of the most provocative discussions you have ever heard.
Prince Silas, Prince Among Princes. Tune in every Saturday from 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. The show called Roster Resolutions, only on Radio Free St. Louis, 920 on AM dial, WGNU. Also on the net at WGNU.net. 2 hours of classical roots reggae, for the prophecies are told through musical instruments. Roster Resolutions.
Friday morning on the wake-up call, firebrand Amy Goodman from Democracy Now! Will be our guest. She's currently crusading to strip the 1946 Pulitzer Prize from the New York Times because the reporter who wrote their prize-winning story about the atomic bombing of Japan was nothing more than a paid government propagandist, and his apologist writing caused a half-century of silence about just how bad the bomb really was. Don't miss Amy Goodman on the wake-up call Friday morning at 8.
Steel Fallon Outdoor Concert Series presents That 80s Band on Tuesday, August 16th from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Civic Park in O'Fallon, Missouri. Bring a chair or blanket for lawn seating. Free parking is available. For more information, call the Tourism and Festivals Hotline at 636-379-5614 or email mcmore@o'fallon.mo.us. Musical news to you from Radio Free St. Louis.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air from the brothers of consciousness. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air from the brothers of consciousness. It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made.
you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound. That's the below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
To us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. And if you want to toll-free, long-distance me, do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways. Get up. Get to me. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. And don't forget, check us out at the web at lizbrown.com. Check us out or email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways. Get up, get to me. We have much. To talk about. I want to say that I am fascinated by, curious about, these are remarkable times that we're living in, because George W. Bush has the ability to do something that no other person that's sat in the White House, in the office of the president, has been able to do. He has been able to look you in the face and say the most incredibly, the most insane, crazy things to you with a straight face. Like that crystallized moment for Cindy Sheehan when she heard after 30 Marines had died after the death of her baby. After all of that, she said that George W. Bush said that we were in Iraq for a noble cause. a noble cause. That was a defining moment for Cindy Sheehan. It is another crystallized moment for all of us. Here's what George W. Bush says. Now, we've had more people die in Iraq in August than we've ever had. We have Iraqis. We're being told that we're supposed to wait for the Constitution, right? Do you know that we're, what, 48 hours outside of the Constitution? Maybe a little closer to 72 hours outside of the date that the Constitution in Iraq is supposed to be done. Do you know that they haven't even agreed on the name of the country yet? They haven't even agreed on the name of the country yet. They haven't agreed on the name. They haven't agreed on rules. They're even talking about creating a Shiite country or territory on the lower half of Iraq. And what are they saying? Well, that kind of means that we're no longer going to have Iraq. What's the noble cause that we went there for? So George W. Bush is telling us more people died in August than any other month. We got to wait for the Constitution, and then we can start this pullout. Some are saying they haven't agreed on the name for the Constitution or a name for the country yet. And we're hours away from their deadline. Our imposed their deadline. Us imposed deadline. Politically, U.S. politically imposed deadline. And George W. Bush has the temerity, has the intestinal fortitude to look you in the face and tell you, despite all of these things, pull out now would be a mistake. Huh? He crawled up from under his vacation covers, out of his vacation bed, out of his vacation, what does he do on vacation? I guess the same things that he does when he's in office. He eats nuts, chokes on them, and falls on the floor and passes out. So I guess during all of that, he found a couple of moments, not to speak to Cindy Croft, or Cindy Sheehan. He says it would be a mistake to pull out now. It would be a mistake to pull out now. I've thought about their cry and their sincere desire. Huh? How could you think about something when you haven't talked to them? Have you talked, or is it because you are a complete coward? That would be CC. Complete coward. Have you talked to parents that have a problem with the war? Do you have those kinds of guts? Of course not. Of course not. Shiites call for their own region. Alarmed Sunnis fear oil losses and delay on the Constitution. You think? Shiites are saying, okay, we want our own part of the country and coincidentally, we want that part of the country that has the oil as our part. That sounds like some American stuff. He says that a pullout would be wrong now. Huh? Why? Huh? Why? Huh? Why? We're dying. They're winning. There is no noble cause. It's worse now than it was before we went in there. Why? Huh? Why? Why would it be worse now? Jesus. It would be worse. Okay, what? 100 people going to die in my... You've been wrong about every other assessment of this occupation of Iraq. How is it that you would be right about this one? You're wrong when you said that there were weapons of mass destruction. Correction, you lied. You were wrong when you said that they were trying to get going to Africa in order to make bombs to use against us. You were wrong when you implied that they, no, when you said that they were responsible for the Twin Towers attack. You were wrong when you said that women have it better off after Sodom than before. You were wrong when you said that the Iraqi people would welcome us as freedom fighters. You were wrong, you were wrong, you were wrong, you were wrong, you were wrong. And now we're supposed to believe in the squirrel finding the nut theory that you would be right about this one. It's wrong to pull out now. Why? Huh? Why? Why? 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Revolution@LizBrown.com. Good golly, Miss Molly. Good golly, Miss Molly. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. I think George W. Bush is thinking the K word on his next vacation, which will be in a couple of months. I think he's thinking the K word. No, I'm not talking about the Klan. I mean, as little Cindy Sheehan camps outside of his house, said, I'm going to stay here on vacation. I'm going to stay here. Kind of like, you know, what did you do on your vacation? I stood outside of George W. Bush's house and asked for him to come and talk to me since my son died, was killed in an illegitimate war. I think the K word is coming to George W. Bush. He can't help it. You know what the K word is, don't you? Sure you do. Kenny Bunkport. That's where his daddy spent his time. His daddy said, I vacation at Kitty Bunkport. Mm. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. 454-0400 is my phone number. And by Wednesday afternoon, Cindy Sheehan was the top rank search item on search engines for blog postings. The White House has tried to cope with Cindy Sheehan's vigil without abandoning its strategy in dealing with families of troops who have died. He's done it privately. Four five four oh 400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Cindy Sheehan may be the person that changes this, changes the war, changes our what we do in this war. And you know, and I could just hear George W. Bush just cussing, just sitting in his vacation home and cussing. Because I understand all of the ripples that are being caused, all the ripples that are being torn into the protection devices put around George W. Bush. Every day that Cindy Sheehan is out in front of his house underscores the number of days he's taken on vacation and causes folks to think, he gets a month of vacation? Every day that Cindy Sheehan is in front of his house, she's on the front page of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Her story is she's on the front page of U.S. World Today. She's on the front pages of papers all over this country. She was on the wake-up call yesterday and had to break from her interview because the cops were coming. George W. Bush's initial reaction was, we're going to get some Secret Service people out there. We're going to get some cops out there. We're going to have her arrested because she said she's a threat to my security. Huh? And then, you know, a few voices of reason said, well, you know, George, that would look kind of bad.
that would look kind of bad if you arrested the mother of a son who died, who was killed in the war, because she's sitting 2 miles away from your house. Huh? This little woman may be the woman that changes the world, that shows you that one person can do it. One person can do it. We have some of her words that we can go out on, Joe. Let's go out on some on
she has
on
a, Cindy every right in the world to say Sheehan's what words. She believes. This is America. Yes, she has a right to her position. And I thought long and hard about her position. Pulling the troops out would send a terrible signal to the enemy.
What signal does our being there send to the enemy? I think being there is worse than pulling out. A lot more people have died by us being there, and a lot more people will continue to die by us being there. They weren't killing each other before we got there, and we weren't dying before we got there. I'll be back.
Let me tell you, I'm all alone.
New state-of-the-art technology has made it possible to offer copies of programs heard on WGNU to the listening audience at a lower cost. If there is a specific program you are interested in having for your personal library, we can now make it available to you at a cost of $25 per hour. Please make a check or money order payable to WGNU Radio, 265 Union, St. Louis, 63108. Please specify the time, day, and particular topic, and allow 10 days delivery. All program recordings are subject to availability.
Friday morning on the Wake Up Call, firebrand Amy Goodman from Democracy Now! Will be our guest. She's currently crusading to strip the 1946 Pulitzer Prize from the New York Times because the reporter who wrote their prize-winning story about the atomic bombing of Japan was nothing more than a paid government propagandist, and his apologist writing caused a half century of silence about just how bad the bomb really was. Don't miss Amy Goodman on the Wake Up Call, Friday morning at 8.
Good morning. WGNU time is 6:32, and time for a look at traffic on the half hour, brought to you by Fazoli's. Eastbound 40 between Highway 141 and Mason, traffic is on the go there. Eastbound 70 between the Earth City Expressway and Natural Bridge Road, normal traffic. Northbound 270 between 55 and Big Bend is in good shape right now. 270 at New Florissant Road, stop and go there. Westbound 255 between the JB Bridge and 55, I-55, no problems there. Looking at the bridge complex downtown, 5570 between Tudor Avenue and the Poplar Street Bridge is in pretty good shape at this hour. Westbound 64 between Highway 3 and the Poplar Street Bridge is normal volume for your Friday morning. Northbound 3 between Queenie and the Poplar Street Bridge is in good shape as well. And a reminder that at Shoto and Compton, the traffic lights are not working this morning. Try Fazoli's new Italian meat sampler for just $3.99, and you'll enjoy Fazoli's new cinnamon or cheese breadsticks, just 49 cents for two with entree. The WGNU weather forecast for your Friday morning: partly cloudy, hot and humid. Chance of a pop-up shower or thunderstorm this afternoon, high in the lower 90s, but the heat index will be at least 100 degrees by early this afternoon. Partly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms tonight, low in the low 70s. Tomorrow, partly sunny with a chance for showers, the high near 90. 78 degrees here at WGNU. WGNU time 6:33. We'll be back with your calls and comments on the morning wake-up call in just a moment.
Did you know that you can have the leaf blocker gutter protection system installed by United Homecraft and never clean your gutters again? In fact, they guarantee it. The best part is, leaf blocker installs over your existing gutters. If your gutters are damaged and need to be replaced, United Homecraft can do that too. With one phone call, you can stay off that dangerous ladder, stop cleaning the mess from your gutters, and start enjoying yourself this fall. The leaf blocker system will also keep you from spending thousands of dollars in repairs to your home from water damage. Call United Homecraft today for a free, no-obligation estimate and save 15% during their preseason sale. From Missouri or Illinois, call 1-888-731-2052. That's 1-888-731-2052. The Leaf Blocker Gutter Protection System by United Homecraft, one of St. Louis' oldest and largest contractors. United Homecraft is a participating member of the iTex Trade Exchange. Your iTex trade dollars are welcome.
One of the most important Mondays at 9 shows we've ever done. The concept of fourth generation warfare and why it may spell disaster for America in Iraq. 4GW, as it's called, has one side that operates as other than a military force, with no national government control and recognizing no boundaries. It often deteriorates into cultural and class warfare that becomes protracted and makes no distinction between civilian and military targets. Sound familiar? Can America stomach such a conflict for 10 years or more? Did Korea or Vietnam teach us nothing? Who changed the Iraq strategy and why? Join Carl Canetta, director of the Project on Defense Alternatives, and former Army Colonel Douglas McGregor, who drafted the original plan for attacking straight into Baghdad, on the next edition of Mondays at 9. And now, today's diary entry from the Girl Blog from Iraq.
Saturday, August 30th, 2003. The looting and killing of today has changed from the looting and killing in April. In April, it was quite random. Now they're more organized than the Central Provisional Authority and the troops combined. No one works alone anymore. They've created gangs and armed militias. They pull up to houses in minivans and SUVs armed with machine guns and sometimes grenades. They barge into the house and demand money and gold. If they don't find enough, they abduct a child or female and ask for ransom. Sometimes the whole family is killed. Sometimes only the male members of the family are killed.
Riverbend, the girl blog from Iraq, was a computer programmer before the war. Not anymore. In her diary of the occupation, she describes daily the new, confined way of life, especially for women amid the mayhem.
Radio Free St. Louis is AM 920, WGNU. Catch us on the World Wide Web at WGNU.net.
It breaks my heart to think about a family weeping over the loss of a loved one. I understand the anguish that some feel.
Welcome back. Welcome back. And it's not often that I'm without words to say, especially given the fact that this is a talk show. But Joe, you got to play that again. You got to play that again.
It breaks my heart to think about a family weeping over the loss of a loved one. I understand the anguish that some feel.
Now, First, it breaks your heart, okay? What would be the evidence of that? Would the evidence be your insistence on meeting with Cindy Sheehan? No. Would it be your insistence on meeting with other family members that the people that have died in the war? No. Would it be your insistence that the world knows that these loved ones died for a noble cause, like when the coffins come with the United States flag draped over them? Would it be your insistence that happened? Oh, no, you didn't insist that happened, did you? How about your insistence, if you feel this is his Bill Clinton, I feel your pain moment, If you feel this, I don't know, how about upping soldiers' salaries? How about if you feel the pain of the loss of a loved one, then maybe we could look at your actions to make sure that nobody's loved one dies in this noble cause. Like, oh, I don't know. Well, what am I thinking of? Maybe some body armor? Maybe a couple of Humvees that were actually made for fighting in war as opposed to driving on the streets of Los Angeles. And then the idea, this is such a troubling, I got to hear it again. I just got to hear it again. Hit it again, Joe. I just got
to
hear it.
And I have done my best to bring comfort to the families and honor to the loved one.
What? He's going to make me cuss on the air. You've done your best. A woman is crying. It's like a woman is crying outside of your house, begging to talk to something about something to you that only you have the knowledge of. This woman is knocking on your door, crying outside, saying, please come talk to me. You did something that caused pain and changed my life for the negative forever. Please talk to me. And you're saying, I've done my best. What the? You haven't even opened the dang door. You haven't even opened the front door. You could do that in a sober and a non-sober mind. You can open a door. You don't even have to put your hand on the knob. You have 15,000 Secret Service people there that could put their hand on the knob and turn it for you if it is too complicated to walk through an unopened door. It's too complicated because you can't walk through an unopened door. You have to turn the knob. That was a trick question. It's crazy. He's done his best. He's done. Ooh. It's a family show. I can't say what I say around my friends. But this is some stuff. This is some stuff. I've done my best to bring comfort to them. Whoo. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fat. This is some deep stuff. 454-0400. This is definitely a Karl Rove. That's what this is. That's what this is. This is a Karl Rove, a.k.a. Turd Blossom. This is definitely a Karl Rove. 454-0400 is my phone number. You're on the wake-up call.
Hi, Leah.
Good morning.
Last week, a friend of mine that teaches in the Riverview District went to the office at the Riverview High School to get something. I don't forgot what she said. But anyway, she said while she was there, she said she saw all of these recruiters at this school. And she said they asked the secretary, I believe it was the secretary, for the name and addresses and telephone number of every student there.
What did the secretary say?
And that's the thing. I asked her, I said, well, what did this person say? She said she told them to hold on. It would take time to get them. And I'm saying,
Wait a minute. No, I'm not interested in what you're saying right now. I'm interested in what this parent did. So what did this parent?
This wasn't a parent. This was a teacher.
Okay, what did this teacher do?
She asked her, she said, you're not going to give them this information, I know. And she said, well, they asked for it. And she said, uh-uh. You know, But they need to be stopped going in these schools.
Wait a minute. Okay, we can get to that discussion. So I guess my next question is after the teacher told the secretary you're not going to give them these records, then what did the teacher do?
I don't know.
Because that's the story here. The teacher should go to the principal.
Right.
The teacher should. Well, you know, those are the things. Because for us sitting here talking about the recruiters in a story like that is unimportant in the big story of this, because this teacher has the ability to go to the principal and establish what the procedure is going to be, because there are letters that are supposed to be sent out to the parents. They can't ask for the records or get the records before
That's
the parents
right.
have had a chance to say yes or no to them. This is before school is open. This teacher should go to the principal of the Riverview Garden School District and to the superintendent and establish what the protocol is for these people to be in this school.
I agree with you. I said the same thing. Apparently what has happened, this is going on in a lot of these schools
now. Of course it is. But it's going on because people are not moving and doing. They have power to stop this stuff. They have power. There are suburban schools all over this country that have said, sure, you can come into our school, but the parent has to expressly say yes that you can talk to their child. Sure, you can talk to a child if their parent says yes, but only in this room at this time, and we're going to have a teacher in the room with you when you are talking to this child. There are all kinds of things that districts can do to keep their baby safe, and this teacher's responsibility is to get to the principal and to get to the superintendent and then help people get to the media if they let babies' records out before parents have had an opportunity to say yes or no. They have no right to get those records until the parents have been notified and there's an agreement from the parents to say, yes, you can let my records go.
Well, I thoroughly agree with you because everything you're saying now, I said the same thing.
Well, what did
thing.
The teacher say back
and
to you?
I don't know now because she had to leave and go back to her school when she was over there, so she don't know what happened after that.
That's not good enough.
No,
that is not good enough. You should get on the phone with that teacher again and tell that teacher to get to the principal to find out the policy and then say, you know what, we don't want this going to the media that we just let these recruiters walk in here and have all our babies' records like this. And the only reason they're at Riverview Gardens is because Riverview Gardens is a black high school. It has 2,000 students in there. There needs to be a policy in that high school that the recruiters do not get these records simply because they asked for them.
Yeah, I agree with you.
All right. I think that you should call that teacher back up.
Yeah, I'm gonna talk to her.
All right.
Yesterday, I think this is getting beyond ridiculous. Yesterday, I went to the grocery store. The gas was $2.38. Do you know by the time I came out of that grocery store, the gas was $2.59 a gallon?
And here's the thing. Here's the thing. It is, we have either the stupidest or the laziest or the most incompetent Democratic Party in the world. If the Democratic Party does not wrap itself, the Democratic Party should be standing outside of a gas station right now. But you know why a lot of them are not going to stand outside of in front of it? Because they signed off on an energy bill that is going to make our gas price, our home heating gas prices higher, our electrical prices higher, our water prices higher. They signed off on an energy bill that didn't do a dang thing to reduce the cost of gasoline. So we have the most incompetent Democrats in the world if they're not going to wrap themselves around this high gas.
Yes.
I put in $20 worth of gasoline. Wait a minute. No. I put in $20 worth of gasoline in my truck. I got 7 gallons. I got to go. I'm too mad to talk. We're going to take a break, folks.
Another chance, another walk, another dance with him. I'd play a song that would never, ever end. How I'd love, love, love to dance with my father again.
The place to shop for all your appliance needs? Sears, 3425 Union, black owned and black operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Geneva. The World Food Program has put together a plan to distribute food to the 2.5 million people in Niger. Some 35 tons of commodities are scheduled to be made available on Monday. A locust plague and a drought from last year and lingering into this year has caused a severe food crisis in Niger. Some 3.6 million people in that country are suffering the effects of famine. And Dateline Baghdad. Dirt-cheap prices for fuel in Iraq are proving to be a heyday for smugglers. The country has for years subsidized its fuel prices to keep costs low. These days, gasoline is going for a nickel a gallon, while in neighboring Kuwait, the people are paying 80 cents a gallon. The price difference has created a black market, with smugglers taking hundreds of thousands of gallons of fuel out of Iraq every day. This has caused a shortage in the country, which has led to long lines at gas stations, plus has forced officials to start importing fuel, which is costing around $300 million a month. This is for the country with the second largest oil reserves in the world. The finance ministry says the loss of revenue due to smuggling represents over 25% of the projected gross domestic production of the country. Last November, Iraq signed a debt relief agreement with the Paris Club, which is an informal group of major creditor nations, and part of that agreement called for Iraqi officials to remove the subsidies this year. But the government has stopped short of doing that because they say the country is in such bad shape that a sudden hike of fuel prices will cause a catastrophic economic collapse. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Friday morning on the wake-up call, firebrand Amy Goodman from Democracy Now! Will be our guest. She's currently crusading to strip the 1946 Pulitzer Prize from the New York Times because the reporter who wrote their prize-winning story about the atomic bombing of Japan was nothing more than a paid government propagandist, and his apologist writing caused a half-century of silence about just how bad the bomb really was. Don't miss Amy Goodman on the wake-up call, Friday morning at 8. Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
I grieve for every death. It breaks my heart to think about a family weeping over the loss of a loved one.
Welcome back to the wake-up call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get up, get to me. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
Ms. Brown, I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for stopping that lady from calling Cindy Sessions a liar yesterday. You put her in her place, Ms. Brown. God bless Cindy Sessions, Ms. Brown. This must be stopped.
Cindy Sheehan.
This got to be stopped. Mm-hmm. Ms. Brown, I really want to read a quote from you. As he said yesterday, it will send a terrible message to the enemy. Ms. Brown, who's the enemy? Bin Laden? By the way, Ms. Brown, have you seen Bin Laden, Ms. Brown?
I have not.
I haven't seen him neither. Well, Miss Brown, did you see Condoleezza Rice and Rumsfeld standing behind the president? Did you see that, Miss Brown?
I
want to tap Cindy on her shoulder so bad about Bill and Crawford. I said, the reason why he ain't got time to talk to you, honey, maybe he's getting him and Condoleezza and Rumsfeld and all his other folks, the only way over there to finish what need to be finished because they ain't got enough people to send over there, Cindy. As you already know, Cindy Sessions. They think we fools, Miss Brown. They ain't got enough people to finish this mess. And one more thing, Miss Brown. Keep your eyes on Jim Talent and Christopher Bond. You see how quiet they are? Jim Talent is stuffing his campaign chest. He wants to go back up there to Washington, D.C. But ask him about Iraq, Miss Brown. We're going to see how many people make it back up there in 206, Miss Brown. And, Miss Brown, one more thing. There's no shortages of no caskets, Miss Brown. They're in high demand. And those flags, too, because the caskets and those flags are going to be on Bush's head. Thank you. Have a nice day.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. My email is revolution@lizbrown.com. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Cell phone.
Hi, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
Two stories that I thought were very important. One of them hardly got any play at all, which was that the Shiite militia, the one that backs the main Shiite party in Iraq, recently pulled a coup d'etat and kicked out the American-backed mayor of Baghdad.
They came in and took him out in handcuffs.
I thought that was an incredibly important story.
At least they took him out in handcuffs. It's the most amazing thing. So what is it? What is the noble cause that we're over there for?
Well, to me, that was the opening shot in a push to get the Americans out of Iraq.
Absolutely.
It's one of
a continuing shot to get Americans out. The Shiites are saying that it's okay, we're going to do this Constitution thing, but we're going to cut up the country and we're going to get the part of the country that has the oil rigs in it and the oil wells in it.
Sure, and I think that they were emboldened to make that statement because we hardly resisted or objected
to their coup d'etat
the other day.
So what was the point of this? What is the point of this Constitution?
No, I think the Americans have a plan in mind, and the Shiites are saying, no, forget that. Mm. This is our country, and we're going to write this thing the way we want it to be.
Mm.
And George Bush is hardly objecting. So I think, you know, he's getting pushed by Cindy Sheehan on this side of the Atlantic, and over there he's getting pushed by the Shiites.
You're absolutely right.
And he's getting squeezed out the middle. And
right.
The other story I thought was very important was that, first of all, it came out that this Army intelligence unit had known about Mohammed Atta.
That's right.
Over a year ahead of time.
That's right.
And that was important enough.
Over a year before 9/11.
Right,
mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And that was an important story. But then we find out that the 9/11 Commission didn't, first of all, they start protesting and say, oh, we didn't know about that. You know, that's terrible. We should have known. Whoops, we did know. It comes out a couple days later.
That's right.
And we just failed to put it in our report.
That's right.
And to me, I mean, I'm just mind blown that this Blue Ribbon Commission that was supposed to tell us the truth of what was going on and give us hard analysis.
The detail that they, well, and there's a couple of things. They didn't talk to our guest, Mr. Hernandez. They didn't talk to him when he was an eyewitness to what happened. They didn't put his information in their report. They acted like he didn't exist. So it's not that, I mean, they didn't put a whole lot of stuff in there.
And I shouldn't be surprised it's not the first Blue Ribbon panel to blow its mission or to actually have a covert mission that, you know, which is different than the official one they tell the American public. But then their excuse for not putting that thing in their report in their final analysis was just ridiculous. They said, well, the Army intelligence didn't refer to Mohammed Atta specifically.
Well, that's kind of like, and in all fairness, John, I think you're being a little unfair because that's kind of like what the way that Karl Rove said. You know, I didn't say her name.
Right.
I said the lady in the blue dress that is the wife of the, you know, I mean, so that's just how they roll. That's
right. We don't have a specific name. But then they tripped themselves up. Then they said, well, but the problem was the Army intelligence report conflicted with information we had about Mohammed Atta's travels.
And?
Well, so if on the one hand it didn't mention his name, on the other hand you're looking specifically at his travel plans to contradict the evidence, those two things don't add up. Either his name was involved or his name wasn't involved.
And secondly or thirdly or fourthly, if it conflicted, why wasn't that in the report?
Exactly. There's something to look into.
Exactly.
Here, a problem.
That's what you're supposed to. That's exactly what you're supposed to do. If you found a contradiction or something that's conflicting on something as important as that, and that didn't make it into your report, that this is a conflicting evidence that you have. Crazy.
Well, the walls of George Bush's facade are falling down all around him.
Thanks, John. I want to walk out with this quote from Cindy Sheehan. It's a fair question. It is an absolutely fair question of a grown woman to ask a grown man.
This war was based on lies and deceptions. He's on vacation here for 5 weeks. I don't understand why he can't take an hour to speak with somebody whose life he has devastated.
I don't understand either. Must be the nuts. I'll be back.
People who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember?
Nine 20 on your AM dial, WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Deirdre Bryant. There are some new terror threats, but government agencies seem to be at odds over their credibility. ABC's Brian Ross reports.
The FBI sent out alerts this week to law enforcement officials in New York, Chicago, and Los Angeles that an attack on or near September 11th was possible. Specifically, the FBI warned the terrorists might use gasoline or fuel tanker trucks to cause mass casualties. But no sooner had that warning gone out than the Department of Homeland Security poured cold water on it. Quote, the information is uncorroborated and the source is of questionable reliability.
Families and co-workers of firefighters who died in the 9/11 attacks in New York will again hear the sounds and stories of that day. The fire department is releasing 15 hours of radio transmission and hundreds of oral histories. 343 firefighters were killed responding to the attacks. Who would have thought $66 a barrel for oil? And analysts think it will continue to climb until consumers curb demand for gasoline. ABC Sonia Crawford says it's the fastest rising expense in the family budget.
While the cost of filling a grocery cart is up just 1% this year, the cost of filling a gas tank has jumped 33%. Businesses that depend on fuel are passing on their pain to customers. Delta Airlines and United Airlines announced fuel surcharges of up to $10 a ticket.
70,000 British Airways passengers are stranded at London's Heathrow Airport. The disruption could last for days. Baggage handlers and other ground workers walked out in support of workers fired by the airline's caterer. Success.
3, 2. One,
NASA has launched the Mars Orbiter. The craft is armed with the largest telescopic camera ever sent to another planet. It will beam back unparalleled amounts of data. Those along the mid-Atlantic states are being told to keep an eye on Tropical Storm Irene. It could become a hurricane in the next day or two. This is ABC News.
Nice shot! Time out!
Basketball's fun, but I need a cold drink.
My mom's making rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Ovaltine? Let's go!
I guess the kids will be home soon.
Let's make rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Come on! Sarah's mom's making
rich chocolate Ovaltine.
All right!
My kids love Ovaltine's rich chocolate taste.
And I love all those vitamins and minerals that you won't find in Nesquik powder.
Mom, we're back!
Who wants Ovaltine?
We do!
We better make more.
More Ovaltine, please!
So, you had the big meeting yesterday. The boss was cranky from 6 hours on the red eye. Dan left the presentation in the cab, and you sat on a 4-inch window ledge for 90 minutes.
Next time, web conference with Microsoft Office Live Meeting and have a more productive meeting without leaving your office. Present to clients around the globe, collaborate in real time, even get instant feedback by taking a live poll.
Try it free for 14 days at Microsoft.com/WorkLive. That's Microsoft.com/WorkLive or call 1-877-MEET-WEB today.
Monsignor Eugene Clark has stepped down as rector of St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York after being accused of having an affair with his secretary. The woman is in the process of a nasty divorce, and it was her husband who made the allegations. This parishioner thinks it may be time for the church to make some changes.
The only way to fix it is
to restructure everything. Maybe make allow the priests to get married or have girlfriends or, you know, whatever their preference is. But they definitely need to restructure something. Otherwise, there's going to be more black eyes.
Monsignor Clark was frequently seen on the Catholic network EWTN. A Kansas teenager has been awarded $250,000 after being bullied by classmates for years. 18-year-old Dylan Thino claimed that school officials did nothing to help him and his only option was to drop out. Junior high principal Steve Wolf was stunned by the verdict.
I'm surprised they got anything at all.
After 2 days of deliberations, the jury found Thino was sexually harassed and deprived of an education. Deirdre Bryant, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Bryant Meyer with your WGNU news update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, Defense Department officials are confirming the death of Specialist Christopher Katzenberger. 25-year-old Katzenberger of the Florissant area died Tuesday in Bagram, Afghanistan. The Army says he had been injured earlier that day in Ghazni when an improvised explosive device detonated near his convoy. The main work of Missouri School Bus Safety Task Force is finished. The task force met yesterday to compile its recommendations, which will go to Governor Matt Blunt in written form within the next few weeks. Brian Jameson, the deputy director of the Missouri Department of Public Safety, says one of the recommendations has to do with seatbelts on school buses.
The task force recommended that in the absence of a legislative mandate, that school districts are encouraged to consider replacing their fleet of school buses as they replace them with factory-installed combination lap shoulder harness seat belts.
The task force also recommends updating driver training and having monitors on board school buses to watch students' behavior. Governor Blunt assembled the task force earlier this year after a rash of school bus accidents across the state, including one in Liberty that left two people dead. Two new West Nile disease cases are on the books in Illinois, bringing the number of human cases reported this year to 11. The newest cases involve a 92-year-old woman from Cook County and a 54-year-old woman from DuPage County. Since May 1st, 11 humans, 88 birds, 825 mosquito samples, and one horse from 31 counties have tested positive. The disease is transmitted through the bite of a mosquito that has picked up the virus by feeding on an infected bird. Finally this hour, Jason Marquis will try to put an end to a rough stretch when the Cardinals continue their series this afternoon against the Cubs. Marquis has lost four straight starts to fall to 9-10 with an ERA of 4.24. The Redbirds are 1-9 overall in his last 10 outings. The Cubs start Carlos Zambrano, who comes into today's action with a record of 8-5. The right-hander is 1-0 with a 1.02 ERA in two starts against the Cards this season. Game time is set for 1:20 p.m. at Wrigley Field. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by McDonald's. Introducing McDonald's Premium Chicken Sandwiches. The Classic Lettuce and Tomato, the Ranch BLT, and the Club. Choose from grilled or crispy chicken starting at just $3.29. McDonald's, I'm loving it. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Bryant-Meyer for Radio Free St. Louis.
WGNU time is 7 minutes past 7 o'clock, and time for another look at traffic on the top of the hour. This traffic report being brought to you by J.C. Penney. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit at Broadway. That exit is closed, so don't try to get off there. Northbound 55 between Butler Hill and 270 is in good shape right now. Eastbound 44 between the Merrimack River Bridge and 270 is normal volume. Eastbound 40 between Highway 141 and Mason Road, traffic is on the go there. Eastbound 70 between the Earth City Expressway and Natural Bridge in pretty good shape. Westbound 270 at New Florissant, it's stop and go. 255 between the JB Bridge and Interstate 55, no problems so far this morning. Northbound 270 between I-44 and Big Bend, it's slow in some areas. Westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge, now starting to go stop and go in the right lane as you get to the bridge. Westbound 64 between Highway 3 and the Poplar Street Bridge, it's normal volume. Kingbridge traffic is on the go. Northbound 3 between Queenie and the Poplar Street Bridge, no problems so far. Those stoplights at Compton and Shodo are out this morning. And a couple of construction notes to pass along to you. Southbound 55 between Richardson Road and Highway M, construction with various lanes blocked for resurfacing. Northbound 67 between 44 and Big Bend, construction has one lane closed there. St. Charles Rock Road between Ashby and Kingsland Road, construction has one lane closed there. And in both directions, Shodo between Tucker and Broadway, construction has one lane closed. The JCPenney two-day sale is this Friday and Saturday. You get your entire stock of Arizona tops or bottoms, buy one, get one for just a dollar. It's all inside at JCPenney. WGNU News Time 7:09. The forecast calls for it to be partly cloudy, hot, and humid today, with a slight chance of a shower or thunderstorm, high in the low 90s. The heat index will be over 100 degrees, and that'll come early this afternoon. Partly cloudy with some scattered showers and thunderstorms tonight, low in the lower 70s. For tomorrow, partly sunny with a chance for showers and thunderstorms developing, the high tomorrow near 90 degrees, so a little bit cooler for your Saturday. We have 78 degrees at the studios of WGNU, and the WGNU news time is now 7:10. Stay tuned for more of the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. We have Looking Black coming up in just a moment.
You're planning your wedding. You've got stars sparkling in your eyes, wedding bells ringing in your ears, and butterflies dancing in your stomach. Relax, that dream come true wedding can be yours. Just visit the exclusive Bridal Fest, Saturday the 13th of August from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sunday, August 14th from noon to 6 at St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. No need to rush all over town when you can check out the best in the area's bridal and party industry all at one handy location. See the newest fashion. Get everything you need to make your wedding an event to remember. While you're there, register for an opportunity to win thousands of dollars in gifts and prizes. One entry per bride to be, please. Entertainment all weekend long, and it's free. The exclusive Bridal Fest, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. Saturday, August the 13th, and noon to 6, Sunday the 14th. Get details at www.sbcshows.com or call 618-236-6926. Sponsored in part by Patty Cakes of Highland, Night Magic Entertainment, and Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920, WGNU. This is a specialized promotional concepts production.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, tell me, sister. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, tell me, sister.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember? I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
Welcome to this week's edition of Looking Black, a review of issues that have impacted your life this week and where they may take us next, from differing perspectives. Here's Liz Brown and our guest journalists for this week.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Looking Black. My number here, 1-877-920-WGNU. My name here is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. And you want to check out the website? Do that at Liz Brown, LizzBrown.com. And don't forget, we broadcast live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net, LizzBrown.com. Or if you missed an hour, go get an hour. This show is archived daily at whiterosesociety.org. So go get an hour if you missed an hour every day. It is archived. Oh, my goodness. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. So let's get to it. It's Friday. It's time for Looking Black. Our guest journalist this week is Salim Muwaku, contributing correspondent for the Chicago Tribune and senior editor of In These Times. He is joining us from Chicago. Salim, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
I'm doing well. Doing well.
Good. So, what did you see this week? What caught your eye? What made you say,
many things, of course, you know.
That's right.
Being a journalist, the news itself is enticing.
Mm.
But specifically, I mean, there were things like, for example, the Voting Rights March in Atlanta. There was the commemoration or observation of the Watts riot 40 years ago. That's a kind of ironic juxtaposition. Both were in 65, and the Voting Rights Act, and in many ways, was an event that evoked promise and some sense that we were beginning to redress our past. And the Watts riot was one that was really associated with rage and kind of set the pattern for the so-called long, hot summer riots that followed in years after that. You know?
I saw the most amazing headline pertaining to the Watts riot story. Is it still relevant?
Right, exactly.
So what do we make out of even that statement of, is it still relevant?
Yeah, that's in fact that is kind of the prevailing attitude that's in the media these days, is a sort of racial fatigue. It's like,
tired of what?
You know?
Tired of what?
Civil rights is over. We've done that, you know, that's so 20th century, that kind of thing, you know.
That's
the attitude we have to contend with. Although things in many ways are worse than they
absolutely,
were.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I just find it just fascinating to that those two words are next to one another. Racial fatigue. Tired of what?
Yes, right, exactly. You know, people act as if there was some enormous effort put forth.
And consistent effort. And consistent effort.
Yes, right. And there has been nothing. There's been a lot of rhetoric and a lot of discussion, And even that has been distorted in many ways, but there's not been any kind of sufficient effort put forth to remedy that, to redress those ills that still fester in our communities.
And Celine, let's talk about this a commemoration of the 40th anniversary of the Voting Rights Act. I know that millions of people out there, particularly people of African descent, have received these emails, some of them coming from purportedly Camille Cosby, that the Voting Rights Act is fixing to be eliminated, that don't let the Voting Rights Act be eliminated. But that's not what is happening here.
No, that's not what's happening. I mean, that's one of the difficulties. I mean, that's why you have to, even though there was, people said it was a limited success in Atlanta, you have to really give Jesse Jackson a lot of credit, because what the civil rights community had to do was in many ways reverse their throttle, because they had to, in the past, assure the black community that our enfranchisement was secure because of the 15th Amendment. The Voting Rights Act simply gave some sort of enforcement power to that. And now, because certain provisions of that act are due to expire in 2007, the civil rights community had to turn around and say, wait a minute now, there is something that's important that we have to mobilize to protect in the Voting Rights Act.
And
that was kind of a difficult change, but they managed to pull it off. And what really was happening is two provisions, what they call extraordinary remedies, that were included in the 65 Act, were due to expire. And one of those is that whenever a voting district wants to make any kind of extraordinary change in the way they allot their locations or any kind of change in their procedure, it has to be looked at by a commission. And also that foreign language ballots have to be distributed where there are significant populations of non-English speaking people. And so those two provisions were due to expire, and they are considered pretty important, especially when you consider what happened in Ohio and in Florida during the previous elections. And so that's why it was necessary to emphasize those particular provisions. And the Republican Party has generally been amenable to that. They said that they will extend that, those provisions.
And here's the thing. It's not simply a battle for the future of a people or of a community to be able to have access to the ballot box. This is a battle of the ability of a community to be able to organize, craft an issue, and to get people to rally around the issue. As an organizer, I think that having the signs up that said whites only or black votes need not apply was a great organizing tool.
Absolutely.
And sadly, since the signs have come down, people think that the battle is over, and we have to craft these battles that are, wouldn't you say, almost nuanced?
Yes, we do, and that's why often you find the civil rights community is a bit shrill, because they have to be, because otherwise things would get lost in nuances, in the grays, and the less obvious and overt forms of discrimination that we are now we're now surrounded by. So in order to keep the community energized and mobilized, they often result to shrill rhetoric, and sometimes it becomes too shrill. But I think as long as we understand the motive and that things haven't changed, and until we see some serious change in condition, we're going to have to continuously be threatening or pressuring the government to begin to redress these issues, in particular things like the incarceration rate for black men.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible. When statistically, we are 1/8 of the entire Earth's inmate population, African American males, because this particular society, although 6% of the world's population, we comprise 25% of the prisoners. And of that 25%, about a half are African American.
Well, Muslim, let's back up just a little bit to something that you said prior to that.
Sure.
About the tactics that are used by those organizers out there, those folks out there that continue to challenge the racial challenges that confront us at this nation. You described it as sometimes necessarily so a shrill. Do you think, Salim, that the method of getting to the base and getting to the hearts and the minds of a community of that in the year 2005, do you think that the people that are bringing us this message and bringing us the way to do it are people that maybe should step aside or maybe reconfigure how the battle is going to be fought and how the battle is even going to be won? You said that the Republican Party is amenable to extending the Voting Rights Act. Well, clearly that's going to be used as a distraction to say, see, we down with black people, we extended the Voting Rights Act. So I understand how they're going to use it. Do we need new types of leadership? Do we need new people that don't do it the old way, that have come up with a new way to energize and connect people to the issue that has not gone away and, as you said, has, in many ways has gotten worse?
I think, you know, you're talking, of course, about a tactical problem here, and that is very real. The problem, however, and I agree, I mean, I wish that we could figure out some new way of connecting not only African Americans, who generally have become apathetic in a lot of ways toward the larger struggle, but the larger community to understand how valuable and how necessary it is to remedy a lot of these problems that we have in our community. And we haven't been able to find that kind of unifying message, and I was hoping perhaps we would find that leadership in the hip-hop community, that these new cultural forms and hybrids would produce a political correspondent of some sort. But I haven't seen that happen. I'm waiting patiently and urgently even for something to develop in that way. And that is a very, very important discussion and one that is being raised really all around the country. Is it time for a new kind of leadership, especially after the Atlanta march, and Jesse Jackson again was the leader and point man, that, and a lot of people feel that Jesse really—I mean—it's time for him to kind of move back and be more of a mentor or a coach rather than a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And I can certainly agree with that, but who was doing it? Had Jesse not been prominent, I don't see who else would have been able to step up and produce. You know, produced 15,000 marches as Jesse did, although it was an older crowd. It was the old school, you know. We couldn't get any hip hop energy into it, but still, it was a crowd. I don't know who could have done that. I wish, and I look urgently and anxiously for someone to step up, but I don't see it.
Well, I am discouraged and energized when I look at. Examine the hip hop community and look at it from a message standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
When we look at movies that are coming out that are connected to the hip hop community, this awful movie. What is it with the new movie that they're saying that he's going to get an Oscar on?
Hustle and Flow.
Hustle and Flow.
Uh-huh.
You know, $1 million given by the Singleton brothers to put yet another African man in the role of a pimp that, you know, focusing on all of the corrupt and negative components of the hip-hop music world, and then to bring in a white female character as the part of this whole message of hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it is problematic that we have a white person writing a story for Hustle and Flow, black men paying a white guy $1 million, the Singletons, paying him $1 million to make this movie, and then the message in the movie is again one of those a National Geographic looking into the black community as this is what they do, this is how they do it.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a lot of interest in the hip-hop community. And
the money in the hip-hop community.
Huh?
the money in the hip hop.
Oh yeah,
community.
Sure. That's why the interest is there. Right. I mean, that's you know, capitalism is really what the market. Mm-hmm. We march to the beat of the market, and until we can find an alternative value system after the fall of communism and socialism and whatnot, there hasn't been anything compelling enough to produce a value system that can give us something more important than profit. Profit is what makes everybody salivate, mm-hmm. And that's what everything has been distorted by that particular imperative, the market, and so it has taken that cultural form as vital and powerful as hip hop and distorted it to the values of the market. And until we can find some compelling aesthetic or ethic, then bling. We'll be following the dictates of the market, unfortunately, mm-hmm. and we haven't been able to do that. And that's, I think, more important than anything. And when you think of ideologically, is for us to develop some sort of compelling value system that can compete in a serious way with the attractions of profit and materialism.
And also, with the fact of the matter is that the economy of this country percolates along based upon the number of items that we purchase.
Absolutely right.
So I mean, it is in the government's interest to have us at a place that we believe that we need to replace our television every 3 years, that we need to buy a newer and better washer and dryer,
sure.
that we purchase these things. Our economy would fall if we would stop purchasing.
A built-in obsolescence. It has to be there in order for us to continue to grow.
Absolutely.
If we don't grow, according to the capitalist doctrine, we'll stagnate and eventually die. So
we're competing against that as well.
Yes, and that's very, very powerful and very destructive when we're thinking of ways that we have to construct a society to remedy past wounds. And black people are still a pretty wounded people. We've been wounded by centuries. By generations of slavery and Jim Crow apartheid,
and until we recognize
that and begin to heal those wounds, we're going to have manifestations of that woundedness in our society.
And we're going to take a break. I am talking to Salim Muwaku, contributing correspondent for the Chicago Tribune and senior editor of In These Times. He's joining us from Chicago. Salim, when we come back, let's talk about some other stories that are in the news that caught
sure.
your eye. I'm Liz Brown. This is Looking Black. Stay with us.
Lonely, and it's not so bad. It's not so bad. And
and good morning, WGNU Times 7:31. Time for another look at traffic on the half hour. Brought to you this report by J.C. Penney. Westbound 64 between Highway 3 and the Poplar Street Bridge. Traffic is on the light side this morning. Westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge. It's stop and go in the right lane as you get close to the bridge. Northbound 270 between 44 and Big Bend. Traffic is light there as well. Westbound 255 between the JB Bridge and Highway 55, no problems at this hour. Westbound 270 at New Florissant, no problems reporting there. Eastbound 70 between the Earth City Expressway and Natural Bridge is in good shape. Eastbound 40 between Highway 141 and Mason, traffic is on the move there. Eastbound 44 between the Merrimack River Bridge and 270, normal traffic volume out there. Northbound 55 between Butler Hill and I-270, no problems to report. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit, which is Broadway, that exit is closed. Keep that in mind if you try to come downtown. And eastbound 70 at the Blanchet Bridge, there is road construction. The right lane is closed, and crews are in the final stage of the bridge work there. Grand Avenue at Forest Park, there is an accident there with an injury reported. Traffic brought to you by JCPenney. The big two-day sale is going on today and tomorrow. The entire stock of Arizona tops or bottoms, you buy one, you get one for just a dollar. It's all inside at JCPenney. WGNU time is now 7:33. The weather forecast calls for another partly cloudy, hot, and humid day today. We have a chance for a pop-up shower or thunderstorm later on, a high in the lower 90s, but the heat index will be over 100 degrees. Our temperature reading up to 81 degrees here at WGNU. And back to more of the wake-up call with Liz Brown and the Looking Black segment in just a moment.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-376-9913.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. Our former IRS agents and tax professionals have successfully negotiated settlements for thousands of our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
According to IRS statistics, the average settlement for accepted offers and compromise was between 12 and 15 cents per tax dollar owed, which means you could qualify to reduce your tax debt by as much as 85%. If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-376-9913. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-376-9913. 9913. That's 800-376-9913.
And now, today's diary entry from the Girl Blog from Iraq.
Saturday, August 30th, 2003. The looting and killing of today has changed from the looting and killing in April. In April, it was quite random. Now they're more organized than the Central Provisional Authority and the troops combined. No one works alone anymore. They've created gangs and armed militias. They pull up to houses in minivans and SUVs armed with machine guns and sometimes grenades. They barge into the house and demand money and gold. If they don't find enough, they abduct a child or female and ask for ransom. Sometimes the whole family is killed. Sometimes only the male members of the family are killed.
Riverbend, the girl blog from Iraq, was a computer programmer before the war. Not anymore. In her diary of the occupation, she describes daily the new, confined way of life, especially for women amid the mayhem.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Turn on your television. I'm watching Martin Luther King. Who had a dream? Oh, so take this dream and apply it to your life. Even though we know the ghetto's rough, but we got to keep your head up.
I'll keep your head up.
'Cause I'm dead.
Looking Black, the week in review, the week ahead, in differing perspectives with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number, 454-6609 is my fax, and my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. We are talking to Salim Muwaku, contributing correspondent for the Chicago Tribune and senior editor of In These Times. He is in Chicago. Salim, welcome back.
Thank you, Liz.
So what else caught your eye news-wise this past week?
The death of John Johnson, who published Ebony and Jet, Ebony Jr., Negro Digest, and Black World. It represented kind of the end of an era. It symbolized the end of an era, and he was really forced many of us, for the first time, I think, a lot of people to realize just how important this guy was. To publish a magazine like Ebony during a period in which it was thought widely, first of all, that black people didn't read, and second of all, that they really had no commercial appeal, that you couldn't advertise any kind of serious product to the black community because they really couldn't buy it. He proved all of that wrong.
It's a bold thing, isn't it, Selim, to even call the magazine Ebony?
It was a bold thing at the time, exactly. A lot of people don't realize that Negro Digest, his first publication, was really a very highbrow intellectual magazine that later evolved into something called Black World,
mm-hmm.
which was extremely important for the more militant intellectuals of the 60s. It was the essential reading. It mm-hmm. published some of the most path-breaking literature of the time by people who later became icons in the black movement. So Johnson was an extremely important person, not just with Ebony and Jet, and those two were extremely important. Jet, for example, was the publication that widely publicized Emmett Till's death and made that kind of a national cause celeb, by publishing his mutilated pictures on the front page.
And Selim, didn't it also, there is something about that community of African descent's connection to Ebony's and Jet. I saw a number of people write in their comments on his passing that we almost instinctively know you can't throw away an Ebony. You can't throw away a Jet.
Yeah, that's right. You can't
do it. You can't let him go. You can walk into any black person's house that has a subscription to Ebony or Jet, and they will have Ebonies and Jets from 65 in there.
You're right. You can see black history
in
your apartment.
Yes, you can.
Ebony. That's right.
And then the other cool thing about Jet is that you get to see if you, as most of us are, you know, you live on the peripheral edges of celebrity. You get to see what Eddie Murphy's wife looks like, what his kids look like, all of those things that you would never see in any other magazine.
Right.
You will see what our celebrities' families look like.
And you're right. It's like a family photo album.
Yes, it is.
A lot of ways, you know. And then, of course, there's the centerfold, which all the brothers...
Well, now, yeah.
You know? Yeah. In fact, my cousin was in there one time when I was in the service, and, man, I was so proud. So, yeah, it's an institution. I remember this movie that Richard Pryor did, and someone said, I'm a correspondent from Jet and Ebony, and Richard saluted.
That's how it feels. That is how you don't throw away your. And the cool thing about the Jet, the genius of the Jet, is that you get immediate gratification with it because you can read right through it.
Yes.
You can read right through it, and you still don't throw it away.
Right. That's right. Yeah. He was a genius. He really was. And it's a sad thing to see him pass. But again, he created an institution. You know, the Ebony Jet Building is in Chicago mm-hmm. on Michigan Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
It was a source of pride for many people. Still is.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm. And is it probably? And I maybe that in his passing that we will be reminded of something that Time Magazine. Who bought Essence? Viacom?
I think Time Warner did.
Time Warner bought Essence, and they were bragging on the fact that, well, we're going to build an Essence building. Well, we already had the Jet and Ebony building in Chicago.
Yeah, that's right.
Already had that.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, he was a stickler for good journalism. He was a hard taskmaster. Anybody who worked for him knew it. But you know, they are often much better for working for him. You know, he instills a kind of discipline that is necessary for a lot of young journalists.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of journalists, black journalists, got their start.
That's right.
The Ebony Jet Empire.
That's
so,
right.
You know,
and we can't forget
a major figure in our history.
And also a major reminder, Salim, of what we have lost and what we need to get.
Absolutely right. There's not much on the horizon. You know, although one of his disciples, I guess you could say, Hermine Hartman in Chicago, just bought Savoy magazine, which is another attempt to create a national black voice.
Mm-hmm.
And she's, you know, certainly very much indebted to Mr. Johnson.
Mm.
People in Chicago call him Mr. Johnson all the time, you know, with this sense of respect. And he's done a lot for the black political movement, you know, under the cover, you know, on the down low, so to speak. And a lot of people respect
him. Like what? Talk to us about that.
Well, you know, he gave a lot of money for the Harold Washington campaign when he was here. He helped Jesse Jackson extraordinarily, offering him a job when he first got here. He did things like, for example, Dorothy Tillman, who's a pretty prominent author person here, the sister who's really responsible for the reparations movement in the cities across the country. He paid the down payment for her first house, for example. Just those kinds of things. He was pretty genuine with the way he reacted to people, and he was generous with his resources. But he was never one to broadcast that. There's a lot of respect for the man here. And you know, a lot of people have not spoken about Black World or Negro Digest. I mean, I used to find out about what was happening in the black community, you know, the black intellectual community during the period when black theater was big, when black literature was big, when black poetry was big. During the black arts era, Black World was the most, it was the most important publication of that era, and people don't speak about that much. And that was Johnson's contribution, because it wasn't a profitable publication.
But it was a necessary one.
It was a necessary one.
We're going to take a break, folks. I'm talking to Salim Muwaku. He is the contributing correspondent for the Chicago Tribune and senior editor of In These Times. He is joining us from Chicago. This is Liz Brown. This is Looking Black. We'll get to some of your calls when we get back. Stay with us.
In the New Jerusalem. You know it's hot. Don't forget what you got. Looking back.
Did you know that you can have the leaf blocker gutter protection system installed by United Homecraft and never clean your gutters again? In fact, they guarantee it. The best part is, leaf blocker installs over your existing gutters. If your gutters are damaged and need to be replaced, United Homecraft can do that too. With one phone call, you can stay off that dangerous ladder, stop cleaning the mess from your gutters, and start enjoying yourself this fall. The leaf blocker system will also keep you from spending thousands of dollars in repairs to your home from water damage. Call United Homecraft today for a free, no-obligation estimate and save 15% during their preseason sale. From Missouri or Illinois, call 1-888-731-2052. That's 1-888-731-2052. The leaf blocker gutter protection system by United Homecraft, one of St. Louis' oldest and largest contractors. United Homecraft is a participating member of the iTex Trade Exchange. Your iTex trade dollars are welcome.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline, New York. The two largest teachers' unions in the United States are on a mission to urge Americans not to buy back-to-school supplies at Walmart. This is part of a labor-inspired effort to pressure the world's largest retailer to treat its workers more fairly. It's being called the Wake Up Walmart campaign and urges activists to adopt their own Walmart stores for protest purposes and recruit friends to help.
A petition that is part of the campaign calls on the retailer to start providing health insurance for employees, end discrimination against 2 million female employees, and put an end to violations of child labor laws. And Dateline Washington. The FCC has decided that internet broadband providers and certain voice-over IP providers must allow electronic backdoors to be available to law enforcement agencies so they can install wiretaps easily. The Communications Assistance to Law Enforcement Act was passed in the early 90s and mandated that all telephone companies must have provisions for wiretaps built into their networks. But at the time, it did not address information services like broadband. Now the FCC has decided to carry it into the new technology as well. This ruling will make such connections less secure and less private, plus will mean companies will have to redesign their networks and products to comply with this government regulation. The Justice Department is also asking airlines to do the same thing with phone and data networks that are on commercial air flights. This is your Wake-Up Call Global News Update.
You're planning your wedding. You've got stars sparkling in your eyes, wedding bells ringing in your ears, and butterflies dancing in your stomach. Relax, that dream come true wedding can be yours. Just visit the exclusive Bridal Fest, Saturday the 13th of August from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sunday, August 14th from noon to 6 at St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. No need to rush all over town when you can check out the best in the area's bridal and party industry all at one handy location. See the newest fashion. Get everything you need to make your wedding an event to remember. While you're there, register for an opportunity to win thousands of dollars in gifts and prizes. One entry per bride to be pleased. Entertainment all weekend long, and it's free. The exclusive Bridal Fest, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. Saturday, August the 13th, and noon to 6, Sunday the 14th. Get details at www.sbcshows.com or call 618-236-6926. Sponsored in part by Patty Cakes of Highland, Night Magic Entertainment, and Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920, WGNU. This is a Specialized Promotional Concepts production.
Friday morning on the Wake Up Call, firebrand Amy Goodman from Democracy Now! Will be our guest. She's currently crusading to strip the 1946 Pulitzer Prize from the New York Times because the reporter who wrote their prize-winning story about the atomic bombing of Japan was nothing more than a paid government propagandist, and his apologist writing caused a half century of silence about just how bad the bomb really was. Don't miss Amy Goodman on the Wake Up Call, Friday morning at 8. If you think it's hot now, just wait till next Tuesday. A three-hour wake-up call special dealing with the racial divisiveness in the St. Louis Fire Department. Liz Brown will examine why the Black Firefighters Organization was formed, which is a story in itself, and why they're shying away from merging with their white counterparts. Do they need each other? This will be the first time that these two organizations have talked about their positions in a public forum. To gain a full understanding about the City Fire Department's internal struggles, be dial side to the Wake Up Call next Tuesday morning from 6 to 9 for one of the most provocative discussions you have ever heard.
Welcome.
Looking Black, the week in review, the week ahead, and differing perspectives with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back. Welcome back to Looking Black, This is Liz Brown, and our guest this morning, our guest journalist this morning, is Salim Muwaku. He is contributing correspondent for the Chicago Tribune and a senior editor of In These Times. He's joining us from Chicago. And Salim, I want to get to some of our callers, but before I do that, I kind of want to touch on a couple more things that...
Let me just say, I'm contributing columnist for the Chicago Tribune.
Okay, I'm sorry.
That's quite all right. And also, if you talk, are you going to be talking to Amy Goodman this morning?
Yes, I am.
Well, tell her I said hello. We used to work together very closely during one period.
Very good. I sure will.
Yes.
I absolutely will.
All right.
And I want a couple more things I want to share about the passing of publisher Mr. Johnson,
mm-hmm.
Mr. John H. Johnson. We haven't talked about the contributions that the photographs of Ebony and Jet made, and we haven't talked about the fashion component of it as well.
Oh, absolutely, yes. That's another aspect. He brought African American women really into the fashion mainstream,
mm-hmm.
with that fashion fair part of his empire. First, they used to feature it in Ebony, and then they went on their own and began to produce fashion shows in cities across the country. And the photographs, indeed, it was his intention to look at Black America through rose-colored glasses.
Mm-hmm.
He had a rose-colored lens on the camera.
That's right.
And that's what we saw.
If we don't, who will?
Exactly.
You know?
There was a lot of opposition to that, you know, especially during the 60s. People mm-hmm. said, oh, man, this cat, he's not telling the real story, the real deal that's going on in the community. But he had a specific mission, and his mission was to transform the imagery of African Americans from that forlorn, defeated image that inept image that a larger American society had portrayed us in. He wanted to transform that.
And the immeasurable impact of the dynasty, the genius, the impact of Ebony and Jet is that young Black women had a place to see what we look like. And it wasn't the same anorexic, bulimic world that young white girls look to in their fashion magazines. As a result, young Black women, period, have better self-images of themselves because of the messages and the photographs and the exposure that we could only see ourselves as models in Ebony. Or
yeah, that's a good point. You know,
because a psychiatrist did this study on the image mindset of young Black girls and young white girls. Young white girls, the statistics showed that when they were asked a question, do define themselves, how do you look? They had poor self-esteem in terms of what they physically look like. Black girls, I look good.
Yeah, that's true. I remember that study.
Mm-hmm.
That's a double-edged study, of course.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. Absolutely. But I'd rather work from that place than the other place.
I guess you're right.
I'd rather work from that place.
And, you know, that's the argument the hip-hop folks make. They say, look, of course a lot of our lifestyle is not glamorous, it's not healthy, it's not beneficial for our community, but this is where we are, mm-hmm. and let's celebrate where we are. We may be somewhere else in the future, and we may have been somewhere else in the past, but right now this is where we are. Let's celebrate it.
That's
their message in a lot of ways that a lot of people have problems with.
Let's get to some of our callers who have been
sure.
patiently waiting. Mary, you have a question or comment for
us? I would like to make a comment. That is really true. You can't throw those Ebony magazines away. I have some dated back from in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And I have often given different people I know gifts with the prescription of Ebony's and Jet, and practically everyone that I have given it to has continued to get them. My cousin was a writer for the Jet, and I also met Mr. Johnson and his wife at a big anniversary party in Chicago. He's a very friendly man, and his wife as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they are. They're a friendly couple. He has to be careful about that, you know, because people will take advantage of that. But he is a very accessible person. You wouldn't expect him to be so accessible.
And I was very excited because he walked over to me at the party and asked me, was I a model? I was very young. And that really excited me.
I know that's right, Mary.
You probably had pictures of yourself in the centerfold.
Oh,
that.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mary. 454-0400 is my phone number. Joe, you have a question for our guest, Salim Mwaku.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
Good. I was just calling to make a comment. As a former subscriber to the Negro Digest and the Black World, I found those magazines to be very important.
Okay, you're drifting away, Joe. Can you speak a little more into your phone, please?
Okay, let me pick up on another line.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Much better.
Okay. As a former subscriber to the Negro Digest and the Black World, I found both magazines very, 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 very enjoyable and very, very informative.
Yes.
I just was disappointed with the demise of the Black World.
Yeah.
I happened to be in Chicago at the time. Several black intellectuals were confronting Mr. Johnson regarding the Black World. Haki and Harold Cruz and Gwen Brooks and Val and Francis Wart were and about five or six others were confronting him in that conference room there.
Right.
And, of course, their issue.
You were there, brother?
I was there. I just happened to be touring the building at the time.
Okay.
Of course, as you know,
that was a historic confrontation.
Right. And, of course, as you know, that was a glass window where you could view who was in that conference room.
Right. That's true.
And, of course, they were all confronting him because, in a way, Johnson was capitulating to the Jewish community because of the militancy of the Black World and the strong pro-Palestinian position that the Black World was taking.
That's true.
And, of course, Hoyt Fuller, who was the...
But, you know, his point, of course, was that, he was capitulating, but the publication was never profitable. So he was...
I understand that, but I also understand that the thrust by the Jewish community was a factor, too.
Yes.
And, of course, Hoyt later went down to Atlanta and established the First World.
Right.
Which was a powerful magazine,
and
unfortunately.
And Joe, I've got to let you go.
Joe's a knowledgeable guest.
You need to meet him. I know for a fact he is. Thank you so much.
Okay.
454-0400 is my phone number. And I want to say thank you so much, Salim Mwaku, a columnist for the Chicago Tribune and senior editor of In These Times. Thank you so much.
You're quite welcome.
And take care. And I will speak to Amy about you.
All right. Please do that. All right.
Take care.
Thank you.
Listen, folks, Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. We'll be back with Amy Goodman in the next hour. Stay with us.
Your AM dial, WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Deirdre Bryant. With oil now hovering at $66 a barrel, will motorists cut back on their driving?
Until we can kind of curtail our demand for gasoline, I don't really see any end in sight.
Energy trader Anthony Grisanti. The Commerce Department reports that the U.S. trade deficit climbed to $58.8 billion in June. Imported petroleum hit an all-time high. Oil prices are 50% higher than a year ago, but would have to pass $90 a barrel to top the inflation-adjusted peak set in 1980. Any other good news?
Maybe it's human nature to try to find the good in a bad situation. How many drivers do you hear expressing this opinion?
I think it's about time gas prices went up.
What's that?
Pollution.
That man hopes more Americans buy smaller cars like his 35 mile to the gallon Honda. And some consumers say they stayed home this summer instead of taking a trip. The result?
Spend more time with my family, you know, my wife and I kind of carpool.
Others say they're becoming more efficient consumers and combining trips when they must make them. Jim Ryan, ABC News in Dallas, Fort Worth.
As the fourth anniversary of the 9/11 attacks approaches, a new possible threat. The FBI telling police in Los Angeles, New York, and Chicago that terror cells may use fuel trucks to stage attacks, but the threat may not be credible.
Law enforcement officials tell ABC News the source is regarded as a known fabricator. Yet FBI officials point to the reality of the recent attacks in London as a reason for sounding the alarm. even if it comes across as crying wolf.
ABC's Brian Ross. Tens of thousands of British Airways passengers are stranded at London's Heathrow Airport because of a workshop stoppage on the ground. More than 500 flights have been canceled. The Mars orbiter is now on a seven-month journey to the Red Planet. The craft will spend nearly 4 years collecting data and beaming back pictures. A flaw in Verizon's website allowed customers who pay their bills online to examine other customers' usage records. This is ABC News.
Musicians, it takes months of planning with top manufacturers Gibson, Pearl, Yamaha, Mackie to bring you deals with savings big enough,
exclusive remakes,
discounts drastic enough,
price drops,
free add-ons, markdowns massive enough, so we can truly say the wait for the largest savings event of the year is over. It's Guitar Center's 41st anniversary extravaganza. Save 60, 70, up to 80% off and more. Celebration savings start Friday. Don't miss it.
Okay, Sandra, are you ready for your home's makeover?
Yes!
Okay, we're done.
But you just changed a light bulb.
But wait.
Wow, the walls look brighter, the furniture looks fabulous, the colors are more vibrant.
That's Philips Natural Light at work. Philips Natural Light gives you remarkable light, bringing out the true colors in your decor. It's a makeover with a twist. See what's possible in your home with Philips Natural Light. Philips, sense and simplicity.
Come in and save 10% on all Philips Natural Light products at the Home Depot this month.
28-year-old Pamela Rogers, a former phys ed teacher in McMinnville, Tennessee, has gone to jail for 9 months in a plea deal for having sex with a 13-year-old student. She'll be on probation, and D.A. Dale Potter says maybe she'll be more respectful of the law.
In court, she was a little bit more respectful, a little bit more serious. I guess we'll see how she does on her 8 years as probation as to how serious she takes this.
Potter was on ABC's Good Morning America. The American Cancer Society says their smoking quit line has had a jump in calls since the death of Peter Jennings.
We've actually heard people very directly express grief about his loss to us and to talk about how important he was and how much it's affected them that he's gone. And then they go on to say it's prompted them to really take their own smoking and their own health more seriously.
Spokeswoman Pamela Villers. The quit line number is 877-YES-QUIT. Deirdre Bryant, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, the search is over for a suspect wanted in connection with the Metro East shooting. Authorities say the man was taken into custody yesterday, joining two other suspects who were already behind bars after a shooting Wednesday night in the 300 block of Terra Avenue. 31-year-old David Walker sustained non-life-threatening injuries. As the enrollment period for the new Medicare prescription plans draws closer, local advocates are worried the new system will cause problems for some patients. The Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services expects the plans to cover most medications for mental illness. But Jim House, the executive director of the Mental Health Association of Greater St. Louis, says some drugs and dosages may not be covered. Local advocates are working with community support workers and caseworkers to educate them about the drug program so they, in turn, can educate patients. The St. Louis affiliate of the Susan G. Komen Foundation is raising money this weekend by letting people test drive BMWs. Executive Director Lisa O'Brien says for every mile driven, $1 will be donated to the Komen Foundation.
And they have the whole series of cars, the 3 Series, a couple 7 Series. They have convertibles and SUVs. And you can just show up, and whatever car's available, you can hop in it and go for a test drive.
O'Brien says the goal is to raise approximately $1 million. The BMW Ultimate Drive will be at Plaza Motor Company in Creve Coeur from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. today, at Auto House of Clayton on Saturday, and Suntrip West County on Sunday.
Good morning. WGNU time is 8:05. Our temperature reading is 81 degrees and time for a look at traffic. And this hour's traffic is being brought to you by Eckerd's. And taking a look at the roadways this morning, we find that Grand Avenue at Forest Park Boulevard has an injury accident. The right lane is blocked and traffic is stacked up to Shodo. Northbound 55 between Highway A and Herculaneum McNutt. The accident out there has been cleared. There are no other problems. Eastbound 70 at the Blanchette Bridge has road construction underway. The right lane closed. Crews are in the final stage of the bridge work there. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit, the Broadway exit, that's closed. Northbound 55 between Butler Hill and 270, no problems there. Eastbound 44 between the Merrimack River Bridge and 270 on the go. And eastbound 40 at Highway 141 in Mason, traffic is moving at the speed limit. Traffic brought to you by Eckert's. Nothing says summer fun like peach picking at Eckert's, so bring the whole family to Eckert's for traffic rides. Pick your own peaches, the Fun Corral, and more. For information, go to Eckert's.com. Weather forecast for the WGNU listening area. Hot and humid today. Slight chance of a shower or thunderstorm, high in the 90s. Heat index of at least 100 degrees this afternoon. It's 81 degrees here at WGNU. It is 7 minutes past 8, and back to the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell the brothers, tell the sisters. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. This morning, we have joining us on the Wake Up Call, Amy Goodman. Amy Goodman is the host of the national radio and television show Democracy Now!, and we are talking about Amy's request. She is submitting a formal request to the board of the Pulitzer Prize calling for the New York Times and its reporter William Lawrence to be stripped of the 1946 Pulitzer Prize for their coverage of the atomic bomb. Amy, good morning. Amy? We don't have her. 454-0400 is the phone number, 454-6609 is my fax. I thought that we had her, but apparently we are still trying to make the connection for her. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax, and the toll-free long distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And if you want to if you want to email me, you can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com, or you can check out the website at lizbrown.com. This story that Amy Goodman is going to be bringing to us momentarily is really kind of an amazing one. And it's one that I think is puts us in a good place as we talk about and look at where we are in this country at this time. Again, Amy Goodman is going to be submitting a formal request to the board of the Pulitzer Prize calling for the New York Times and its reporter William Lawrence to be stripped of the 1946 Pulitzer Prize for their coverage of the atomic bomb. Amy, good morning.
It's great to have you. It's great to be with you.
And it's great to have you here. This is something else. This is something else.
Yeah. Well, I'm really thrilled. I think this is the last interview I'll be doing before I actually head up to Columbia University to the J School, the Journalism School, which is where the Pulitzer Board sits to submit this request.
So talk us backwards. Talk us to why this request needs to be made.
Well, it's high time on the 60th anniversary of the dropping of the atomic bombs, the first and only time atomic bombs have been used in the world, the dropping of the bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. I think it's high time that the Pulitzer Prize Board revoke the 1946 Pulitzer Prize for reporting that went to William Lawrence and the New York Times for their coverage of the dropping of the bombs. Lawrence was awarded the prize for a 10-part series as well as his coverage of the dropping of the bomb on Nagasaki. He, by the way, was in the squadron of planes that dropped that bomb.
And that's as close as he got to Nagasaki.
Yes.
From the belly of the beast.
From the trigger end, that's right. And I think it's so instructive. But it's not only the content of his reports, which we really have to ask serious questions about. William Lawrence denying very much set the tone for the next half a century, denying the effects of radioactivity.
How did he do that, Amy? What was the denial part of that in his reports?
Well, here you had a reporter, an independent reporter like Wilfred Burchett, the first Western reporter to make it into Hiroshima, despite the U.S. military ban on reporters going there after the dropping of the bomb, and he was horrified. He saw people running with their skin melting off. This isn't right at the impact. We're not talking about the people who have died because of the actual explosion, but what was causing them to die in the weeks after. And he didn't have the words, Wilfred Burchett. This is the other reporter. He talked about some kind of bomb sickness, an atomic plague, and he sat down in the rubble with his Hermes typewriter, and he tapped out the words, "I write this as a warning to the world." It was a report that rocked the world, and the U.S. War Department, it wasn't called Pentagon at the time, reacted. They brought a group of reporters, including William L. Lawrence of the New York Times, who'd just come out of bombing Nagasaki, to New Mexico, where the bomb was born, to counter these reports, what General Groves, the head of the Manhattan Project that made the bomb, called. They called the reports of radioactivity killing people Japanese propaganda.
Mm.
You also look at a reporter like George Weller. You know, you just had Salim on, Salim Wakil from Chicago. George Weller was from Chicago. He was with the Chicago Daily News. He's the first reporter to make it into Nagasaki. He got in, defied the ban by rowboat, and he wrote a 25,000-word dispatch that did not get past the military censors. He wrote, "They won." That report has just surfaced. His son found a carbon copy of it. George Weller has died, and he, too, talked about he didn't have the words. He said there's something like he called it Disease X. And the Japanese didn't know what it was. They quarantined people thinking it was infectious. George Weller described women lying in hospital beds with halos because their full head of hair had just dropped off and was on the pillows. And so you have that kind of eyewitness description versus William Lawrence, who very much gave voice to the U.S. military denying that radioactivity was killing people, which would imply that the U.S. had won unfairly, had used these bombs. Well, it turned out that William Lawrence was not only the New York Times reporter and the first science reporter in this country. He was also on the payroll of the U.S. War Department. The General Groves had gone to the New York Times, had a secret meeting with the publisher, Sulzberger, and William Lawrence in March of 1945, a few months before the bomb was dropped, and they gave William Lawrence this job. So he was serving two paymasters, the New York Times and the U.S. War Department. In fact, one of these reports he won the prize for, the eyewitness account of the dropping of the bomb on Nagasaki, it actually says at the top of that report he is a consultant with the U.S. War Department. Well, that is unacceptable. It's unacceptable that a reporter is also working for the government. It's unacceptable that he was awarded journalism's highest prize for this. And it sets the tone for what I think we've seen right through this day, and particularly relevant with the invasion and occupation of Iraq, and that is the denial of the voices of victims. So many came out of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, the lucky ones who survived, the Habakasha, though, who were devastated, permanent scars, dealing with radiation and the effects of the bomb. And yet, that is not the overall picture that people had in this country. And I think that this situation has to be rectified. I think, personally, the Times should return the Pulitzer. But failing that, the Pulitzer Board should revoke it.
So how does that happen? How does the Pulitzer Board go about revoking an award? What are the grounds?
Well, that's a very good question. I think they begin an investigation. They have rarely done that, but I can talk about one example of them having done that. And that was in the case of Walter Duranty. His prize ultimately, though, did not get taken away. But I'll show the contrast. On October 23, 2003, the New York Times published an article about a controversy over a Pulitzer Prize awarded in 1932 to the Times reporter Walter Duranty. A former correspondent in the Soviet Union, he denied the existence of famine that had killed millions of Ukrainians. The Pulitzer Board launched two inquiries to consider stripping Duranty of his prize. The Times said they regretted the lapses of its reporter, published a signed editorial saying Duranty's work was some of the worst reporting to appear in the newspaper. The current Times executive editor, Bill Keller, decried Duranty's credulous, uncritical parroting of propaganda. Well, in November 2003, the Pulitzer Board decided against rescinding Duranty's award, concluding there was no clear and convincing evidence of deliberate deception in the articles that won the prize.
Well, now.
And so we say, and I'm reading from the book that I wrote with my brother David Goodman, also a journalist joining me in this call for the revocation of the Pulitzer. We say, as an apologist for Joseph Stalin, Duranty is easy pickings. What about the deliberate deception of William L. Lawrence in denying the lethal effects of radioactivity? And what of the fact that the Pulitzer Board knowingly awarded the top journalism prize to the Pentagon's paid publicist who denied the suffering of millions of Japanese? Did the Pulitzer Board and the Times approve of uncritical parroting of propaganda as long as it's from the United States? It's long overdue the prize for Hiroshima's apologists be stripped.
So is this a motion that you are you filing with them? Is
well,
this...
we're just simply filing a letter, a request that they strip the prize. You know, the facts aren't in contention here.
No, they're not. No,
the
they're
New
not.
York Times admits he was on the payroll of the War Department. The publisher approved this. Many of William L. Lawrence's colleagues did not know, actually.
Mm.
Some reports had this... qualifier at the top of his pieces, and others didn't. But it's unacceptable, and it's so important because we see the kind of tone that has been set. I mean, just in these last 2 years, you look at the way the New York Times and the corporate media in general beat the drums for war by alleging weapons of mass destruction, simply quoting so-called anonymous sources. That gave them more credibility because, you know, they knew something we didn't. And continually on the front pages of the New York Times, reporters like the national security correspondent Judith Miller alleging weapons of mass destruction. That paved the way for war. When the media acts as a conveyor belt for the lies of the administration, they have to be confronted because the lies take lives. Just ask Cindy Sheehan, who sits right now outside Crawford Ranch, who lost her son, Casey, in Iraq.
And
the lies take lives.
And we talked to her yesterday. You're absolutely right. What can be done in the New York Times? They know the same thing that the Pulitzer Board knows.
That's right.
What kind of pressure can be put on?
Well, I think that reporters at the Times should join in the call, and I think that your listeners and people all over the country should write to the Pulitzer Board and demand that this wrong be righted, that this prize that went to the Times for reporting that was done by a reporter on the payroll of the U.S. War Department denying the effects of the long-term effects, the radioactivity that, by the way...
Or even the week-after effect, Amy.
That's right. I mean, it went from then on. And the reporters on the ground with their own eyes, they saw those effects. Now, get this. There's an interesting twist in this story. There was another New York Times reporter who actually did get into Hiroshima right around the time of Wilford Burchett when, you know, William L. Lawrence was back in New Mexico. His name was W. H. Lawrence, also William Lawrence. He got into Hiroshima. It is so odd, this twist. So there were two William Lawrences. This reporter, in his first report, did describe going into a hospital and seeing these indescribable effects that we have not seen before in the world. The effects of radiation.
Was his story reported?
Yes, in the New York Times. But the second report that W. H. Lawrence did, now, the headline was, "No Radioactivity Found in Hiroshima Ruins." I guess the War Department had gotten to him. And so the overwhelming coverage in the New York Times was very much weighted in the way that William L. Lawrence and ultimately this other reporter, W. H. Lawrence, continued to report it, with denying the effects of radioactivity. And I think it overall goes to this deeper point. Who gets heard in the media and who doesn't? And I would say that it's really the majority of people that don't get heard. You get this tiny circle of pundits who continually manufacture consent for war, and they're quoted on the front pages of the Times and other leading papers and in the corporate networks. And it's the majority of people, not a fringe minority, not even a silent majority, but the silenced majority, silenced by the corporate media. It's the majority of people's voices that don't get heard. Like, you know, leading up to the invasion, more than half the people were opposed to invasion for more inspections and diplomacy. And yet almost all the coverage of the nightly newscasts, ABC, NBC, CBS, even PBS NewsHour with Jim Lehrer, almost all the coverage simply provided a platform for pro-war voices. This all has to change, and we have to go back to the original embedding. And that was William L. Lawrence on the payroll of the War Department and the New York Times.
It's almost like we have kind of this little perfect storm going here, Amy, with Cindy Sheehan with the 50th anniversary of Hiroshima and the impact and the effect of keeping the truth from citizens and not allowing journalists to report accurate and the war in Iraq.
That's right. It's a real convergence right now, and it's so interesting that Cindy Sheehan is even being heard. I mean, this woman has been going for many, many months. We've had her on a number of times on Democracy Now! And other mothers who have lost their sons in Iraq, they have, I mean, do you know that there was a group of them who went to the Pentagon at the time of President Bush's second inauguration to demand to speak with Rumsfeld? These were grieving mothers. They were turned away by the military at the Pentagon. Almost no coverage. But now, you know, it's just this moment. It's quite incredible.
It really is.
She goes down. She's done many actions that almost get no coverage. But I guess it's dead of summer. It is the hypercenter of American reporters with nothing to do. The longest vacationing president in the history of this country, right? President Bush is on his 20th day of vacationing. A fifth of his time he's been vacationing. And the reporters are now picking up on the story, and it's a very important one, how rarely we hear these voices. And you see what happens when the press does the right thing.
And
President Bush was forced to name Cindy Sheehan yesterday and address her concern.
However, in saying the way that he addressed
it, that
is another story. But it is, and it's an incredible opportunity and an incredible point that we find ourselves in, because she is getting attention that she has never gotten before. And she's saying exactly the same things that she's always been saying.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, you were asking what people can do. If people email us, we can forward it to the Pulitzer Board. We have been we're overwhelmed with mail at mail@democracynow.org. But people have been calling now for the stripping of the Pulitzer Prize of William Lawrence in the New York Times. This isn't, you know, a historical footnote. I think it's so important that we challenge from the beginning when reporters act as mouthpieces for the government, because the power of the media now cannot be underestimated, more powerful than any bomb or missile. The Pentagon has deployed the U.S. media, and we have to take it back. So much of it is out on public airwaves, and those airwaves ultimately are ours. Yes, private companies lease the airwaves, but they still have a responsibility to bring out the diversity of opinion.
And, Amy, one more question. In terms of, has this request ever been made for the Pulitzer Board to rescind a Pulitzer Award for an American story? Has this ever been done before?
Certainly not for William L. Lawrence. For Walter Durrani, they did open an investigation, his coverage of what happened in under Stalin, but ultimately he kept his award. But certainly not before for William Lawrence, who is hailed as one of the great reporters. I don't think we can overlook the fact that he was being paid by the War Department as well. He was their most powerful spokesperson. You know, he was not only writing the pieces for the Times, he was writing statements and press releases for President Truman and the Secretary of War at the time, Stimson.
And how much should we make of, or how much should we at least think about, the fact that this is a man who received a Pulitzer to writing about an event that he never touched ground on? He never eyewitnessed any of these things.
That has to be addressed as well. I mean, and it is so much the paradigm of the press today is, on the one hand, being embedded in the front line of U.S. troops in Iraq. So in the sense you could say, well, they're in Iraq,
right,
but they're only getting it from one perspective, like William L. Lawrence in the squadron that dropped the atomic bomb on Nagasaki. They're getting it from the trigger end of the gun. What does it feel like to be at the barrel end of that gun? What does it feel like to be in an Iraqi community?
How could you win a prize for writing about something that you've never seen?
Sorry, that question again.
I mean, how can he win? I mean, and the other part of it is, how does he get to win a prize for a story talking about the effect of a bomb when he wasn't on the ground to see the effect?
Oh, that's true. Well, he was awarded the prize, you're right, for I thought the exact words of the Pulitzer Committee was for being an eyewitness to the bombing of Nagasaki. In fact, I believe that was the headline of that piece, Atomic Bombing of Nagasaki Told by Flight Member. It says, William Lawrence, science writer for the New York Times and a Pulitzer Prize winner, is a special consultant to the Manhattan Engineer District, the War Department's special service that developed the atomic bomb. And it says, by William L. Lawrence with the atomic bomb mission to Japan. But no, he never actually made it on the ground to either Hiroshima or Nagasaki.
Amy Goodman, could you give us that email address again, please?
M-A-I-L, mail, at democracynow.org. And people can just check out our website at democracynow.org, because there we have the piece we wrote in the Baltimore Sun last Friday that calls for the stripping of the prize. It also has the chapter from our book, The Exception to the Rulers, called Hiroshima Cover-Up, how the War Department's Timesman won a Pulitzer, as well as my colleague Juan Gonzalez's piece that he wrote in the New York Daily News this week, and much of the coverage that has come out of this effort that we are spearheading right now. And it shouldn't just be my brother David Goodman and I. I think many journalists, scholars, and just people who are concerned about the role of journalism. Journalism is essential to the functioning of a democratic society. It has to be independent.
And I want to end with my favorite quote about you. Please tell us what Bill Clinton said about being interviewed by you.
Well, it was Election Day 2000, and Bill Clinton called WBAI, the station I was at in New York, and they said he was available for an interview at that moment. I mean, this was not something we got a chance to prepare for. And so we began. They said he wanted to talk about getting out the vote, right? Hillary was running for the first time, Hillary Clinton for senator in New York, and, he was campaigning for Al Gore to be president. That was the longest election day. It lasted 5 weeks. And so we asked questions, started with, why should people go out and vote? Some are saying both parties are captured by the corporations, and asked about Leonard Peltier in prison, life sentence. He was considering whether to grant him clemency, asked about racial profiling, and then asked about the sanctions against Iraq before this current invasion. More than a million people died as a result of the sanctions. Asked him about the dropping of the napalm and the bombing of Yekes, the practice bombing, and got a chance to ask him a lot of questions. Asked him about the death penalty and his support for it. When I asked him about whether some felt he had taken the Democratic Party to the right and might be responsible for Ralph Nader running, he got very annoyed. And that's when he said, I think the words were hostile, combative, and even disrespectful. So I said I just had a few more questions.
Amy Goodman, thank you so much for joining us on the Wake Up
Call. It's great to be with you. I'm actually looking forward to coming to St. Louis soon in September for the Public Radio News Directors Conference that will be taking place there. So maybe I'll get to see some of your listeners. So thanks so much for having me on, and I hope folks join in this call. We've got to take journalism back in this country. It should be a public service, not a parroting of the Pentagon line.
Amy Goodman, thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, Wake Up Call, will be back after this break. Stay with us.
Now, just wait till next Tuesday, a three-hour wake-up call special dealing with the racial divisiveness in the St. Louis Fire Department. Liz Brown will examine why the Black Firefighters Organization was formed, which is a story in itself, and why they're shying away from merging with their white counterparts. Do they need each other? This will be the first time that these two organizations have talked about their positions in a public forum. To gain a full understanding about the City Fire Department's internal struggles, be dial side to the wake-up call next Tuesday morning from 6 to 9 for one of the most provocative discussions you have ever heard.
Do they play jazz in heaven? In New Orleans, we know they do.
If your family hasn't been to New Orleans, y'all haven't lived. Visit NewOrleansOnline.com to plan your trip to Six Flags New Orleans, Audubon Zoo, Aquarium of the Americas, and more. Hop on the new Canal streetcar line, see gators up close, and roll in a riverboat down the mighty Mississippi. Visit NewOrleansOnline.com today for great hotel rates and a free Good Times guide with more than $2,400 in coupons. And jazz up your family's next vacation in New Orleans.
You know, if there's a paradise, it's an afternoon in Jackson Square. Cause if they play jazz in heaven, darling, it's standing room only up there.
NewOrleansOnline.com, happening every day.
8:33 here at WGNU, 81 degrees our current temperature reading, and time for a check on traffic on the half hour, brought to you by Absopure Natural Spring Water. Northbound Grand Avenue at Forest Park. The traffic is starting to thin out now after the accident in that area has been cleared. Eastbound 40 between Boone's Crossing and Chesterfield Parkway W. An incident has been cleared there. Highway Z at I-55, an accident reported there. Eastbound 70 at the Blanchette Bridge, road construction underway. Right lane is closed. Crews are in the final stage of bridge work there. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit, which is Broadway. The exit is closed. Do not try to go downtown there. Northbound 55 between Butler Hill and 270. No problems there. Eastbound 70 between the Earth City Expressway and Natural Bridge is in good shape. Westbound 270 at New Florissant. No problems reported there. Westbound US 40 between Laclede Station and Hanley. Traffic is slow in the right lane. Westbound 5570 between 4th Street, traffic has returned to normal. Westbound 64 between Route 3 and St. Clair Avenue and the Poplar Street Bridge, traffic is on the light side. Kingbridge traffic is on the go. Northbound 3 between Queenie and the Poplar Street Bridge, no problems to report there. It's hot outside. Doesn't a nice cold glass of Absopure Natural Spring Water sound good? Now get a cooler and 3 5-gallon bottles of Absopure water free. That's right, free. Call for details, 1-800-4-ABSOPURE. Weather forecast, hot and humid today. A chance for some scattered showers this afternoon. High in the lower 90s. The heat index well above 100 degrees. It's 81 degrees here at WGNU. More of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown in just a moment.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears. 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top 6 appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
One of the most important Mondays at 9 shows we've ever done. The concept of fourth-generation warfare and why it may spell disaster for America in Iraq. 4GW, as it's called, has one side that operates as other than a military force, with no national government control and recognizing no boundaries. It often deteriorates into cultural and class warfare that becomes protracted and makes no distinction between civilian and military targets. Sound familiar? Can America stomach such a conflict for 10 years or more? Did Korea or Vietnam teach us nothing? Who changed the Iraq strategy and why? Join Carl Canetta, director of the Project on Defense Alternatives, and former Army Colonel Douglas McGregor, who drafted the original plan for attacking straight into Baghdad, on the next edition of Mondays at 9. And now, today's diary entry from the Girl Blog from Iraq.
Saturday, August 30th, 2003. The looting and killing of today has changed from the looting and killing in April. In April, it was quite random. Now they're more organized than the Central Provisional Authority and the troops combined. No one works alone anymore. They've created gangs and armed militias. They pull up to houses in minivans and SUVs armed with machine guns and sometimes grenades. They barge into the house and demand money and gold. If they don't find enough, they abduct a child or female and ask for ransom. Sometimes the whole family is killed. Sometimes only the male members of the family are killed.
Riverbend, the girl blog from Iraq, was a computer programmer before the war. Not anymore. In her diary of the occupation, she describes daily the new, confined way of life, especially for women amid the mayhem. Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up and get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to go. Boy, we're just doing all kinds of stuff on this show. There's all kinds of stuff. If you missed last half an hour, you need to go check it out. Amy Goodman. If you missed the hour before, you need to go check it out. Our Looking Black segment with our new journalist friend, Salim. You need to check it out. We have there's so much to talk about. And please don't miss, it's going to be a fabulous show on Tuesday when we do for the first time, when we engage in for the first time, a three-hour discussion about the state of the fire departments across the nation, and in particular in the city of St. Louis. There are all kinds of racial issues there are fires going on within firehouses. There truly are. They say that sports is a good place to get up, to put your finger on, to get your finger on the pulse of what race relations are like in the United States of America. And sports do provide a very good backdrop for that discussion and for examples of how we are unable to, how we do not deal with, address the issues of race. As good as an example as sports, in the area, the arena of sports is, I'm telling you, these firehouses tell the tale. We have firefighters that are members of fire unions protesting affirmative action in blackface in the 1990s. We're not talking about going back to the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, or even 80s. We're talking about 90s. And we're not talking about somewhere deep south. We're talking about in Chicago, white firefighters in blackface protesting affirmative action. These are amazing times that we find ourselves in, amazing times. And the story that we are going to do on Tuesday is going to give, it's going to help illustrate that. We're going to have, for the first time, the head of the White Firefighters Association, the Firefighters Union, in a discussion with the Black Firefighters Association Fire. Wayne Lester is going to be on the air. We're going to be talking about this. We're going to be confronting this head on, and it's going to be really, it's going to be fabulous. It is going to be fabtabulous to be able to talk about this, because what is happening in the city of St. Louis is something that is happening all across this country. 454-0400 is my phone number. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. And if you want a toll-free long-distance me, you can do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways get to me. You can always email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. Cindy Sheehan, percolating in Crawford, Texas. We had a story that just came out that here's a fabulous thing to be looking forward to on the continual story of Cindy Sheehan as she waits for to talk to George W. Bush on his five-week vacation, of course, the most vacationing president in the history of this country. 54 days a year, he's on vacation. Now, he's on vacation, right? He says he doesn't have time to talk. Oh, he hasn't said anything, but he said her name. That's the first step, say my name. It's kind of like Muhammad Ali, when they wouldn't respect him. And he was in the ring punching him, saying, say my name, because he wouldn't say Muhammad Ali. He kept saying Cassius Clay. It's kind of like Cindy Sheehan, punch, say my name. So she got George W. Bush to say a name, because she'd been punching on him all this time. Well, he's in a bit of a pickle, as they say over there across the pond. He's in a bit of a pickle. You see, George W. Bush is supposed to go to a fundraiser at a ranch nearby his ranch, or his vacation home in Crawford. Now, the shortest way is to drive past Cindy Sheehan. Ah, but does he have the intestinal fortitude to do that? Does he have the intestinal fortitude to drive by? Will he get there, as we speak, are there Secret Service men out there laying down concrete to pave another road so he doesn't have to drive by Cindy Sheehan? You gotta get there on some back road. And metaphorically speaking, that would be most apropos. Of course he would take the back road to get to where he needs to go to. Not in the light of day. He's in a bit of a pickle. He's in a bit of a pickle. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. Say my name. I'll be back.
I thank my God.
We are here for the duration. We'll be here till August 31st, or until he talks to me. And after August 31st, if he hasn't spoken with me, we are going to go and take this to Washington, D.C.
Something within me, something within me that vanishes me, something within me, Lord, that I can't explain.
Ever wonder why everyone cries at weddings? Sometimes it's from sheer joy. Other times it's because you and your family are overwhelmed by all the preparations for your big day. Visit the exclusive Bridal Fest, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. Saturday, August 13th, and noon to 6 p.m. Sunday, August 14th at St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. See the latest in fashion and formal wear. Discover imaginative touches for your wedding and reception. Everything you need for a memorable day. Admission is free, and you can register for an opportunity to win thousands of dollars in special gifts and prizes. One entry per bride-to-be, please. That's Saturday, August 13th from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and noon to 6 p.m. Sunday, August 14th. The exclusive Bridal Fest at St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. Sponsored in part by Patty Cakes of Highland, Night Magic Entertainment, and Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Get more information on the World Wide Web at spcshows.com. This is a Specialized Promotion Concepts production.
This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline Dakar. The head of the coup in Mauritania promises to organize presidential elections as soon as possible. Ely Mohamed Val says no members of his military supporters will be allowed to be candidates in the voting. He says last week's coup that ousted President Taya was an attempt to restore constitutional order to the nation. Val says if things go well, the transitional period may only last to the end of this year. A delegation from the African Union met with Mr. Val earlier this week to assess the actual situation in Mauritania. The AU has expressed disapproval of the coup, but has not called for the exiled president to be returned from power either. The former leader ruled the country for over 20 years after he staged a coup that brought him to power in 1984. And Dateline Washington. A former CIA field commander who headed the operation at Tora Bora in Afghanistan in December of 2001 says Osama bin Laden was there. But the American military made a wrong judgment not to deploy forces to cut off escaping Taliban and Al-Qaeda members, and they let him get away. Gary Bernstein says he was on the ground there at the time, and his unit had definite information that Osama bin Laden was there because his operatives had tracked him there. The Tora Bora episode became a point of contention between John Kerry and President Bush during last year's presidential campaign when Kerry charged that Bush did not choose to use American forces to hunt down and kill bin Laden. Bush said Kerry's remarks were lousy Monday morning quarterbacking. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
Missouri Black Expo 2005, Quest for Success, is returning for the 14th year to America Center, August 20th through the 21st, ready to improve your lives. MBE is returning with hundreds of exciting booths and exhibits of outstanding businesses that need your support. Get ready to shop till you drop and experience exhibits at Missouri Black Expo, like the Schnucks Western Union Negro League Baseball Pavilion, or sing to win cash and prizes at the Urban Idol Pavilion at Missouri Black Expo. And don't miss the UMSL Lecture Series Black America Today panel discussion, the MBE National Invitation Boxing Tournament featuring Olympians, and the MBE Team Summit with the theme Marijuana Ain't No Better, the MBE Health Fair and Prostate Cancer Survivors and Awareness Walk and more. Tickets are $8 and kids 6 and under are free. Go to Schnucks Markets, $2 general admission discount coupons. Reserve your booth today at MBE. Call 361-5772 or visit www.missouriblackexpo.com for more information.
Did you know that you can have the leaf blocker gutter protection system installed by United Homecraft and never clean your gutters again? In fact, they guarantee it. The best part is, leaf blocker installs over your existing gutters. If your gutters are damaged and need to be replaced, United Homecraft can do that too. With one phone call, you can stay off that dangerous ladder, stop cleaning the mess from your gutters, and start enjoying yourself this fall. The leaf blocker system will also keep you from spending thousands of dollars in repairs to your home from water damage. Call United Homecraft today for a free, no-obligation estimate and save 15% during their preseason sale. From Missouri or Illinois, call 1-888-731-2052. That's 1-888-731-2052. The leaf blocker gutter protection system by United Homecraft, one of St. Louis' oldest and largest contractors. United Homecraft is a participating member of the iTex Trade Exchange. Your iTex trade dollars are welcome.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Sing like a hornet. They won't let me have it. Not even if no one else want it. And if I try to take it, they wanna break me down and strip me naked. They write a brand new rule and break it. They lie, they cheat, they steal, they fake it. But I'm gonna make it. Lord, I can take it. I'm cut the drama, boy, save it for your mama. I'm the greatest man alive. I can't sweat it, no, I got to get it. I'm the greatest man alive. Without no doubt, my name will survive.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Hi there. This is Ben from White Rose Society.
Hey, Ben. Good morning.
Good morning. Actually, the word is that that disgusting drinker of blood, George Bush, is going to be flying in and out in Marine One.
So we're paying, taxpayers are paying extra money because he's too much of a coward to drive by a little 48-year-old woman.
Well, a 48-year-old woman and the several thousand people who are lining that road today.
That is incredible. He is flying in and out to a fundraiser that is at a nearby ranch.
Correct.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, he was here in Aurora, Illinois the other day, where, by the way, the free speech zone was almost 3 miles away. He never went past them. They flew him to the Air Force base and then flew him here.
And I'm not so surprised that about that. I mean, that one I can see happening, but there are some Barnum and Bailey contortions that he's going to have to get himself into to get in and out of Crawford.
Yes.
Because this was a fundraiser at a nearby ranch there in Texas. And nearby mean physically near his Crawford vacation home.
Yes, I think that it's probable that sometime in the next few days they will decamp for Kennebunkport.
I bet you. Like I said earlier this morning, that they were going to start to say the K word, the Kennebunkport word. I bet you he leaves Crawford. I bet you he does.
And I'm telling you something else. When that happens, I am quite sure that Ms. Sheehan, at least, is going to follow him there. And I really think that we'll see an entirely new and fresh crowd of people from the Northeast.
That's right.
Who will show up there. You know, I'd be there if I could get there.
Mm-hmm.
I can't.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I mean, if it was someplace I could drive to, darn straight I'd be there.
And it makes it even more of a news story. And what was that thing that happened to his father that followed him from campaign stop to campaign stop? Wasn't it Chicken George?
It was.
You know, and that's what we have right now, Chicken George.
Except this has got more legs in the media than anything I've seen in a long time.
Me too. And I think that Amy Goodman was right this morning when she said part of the perfect storm component of this story is there's not a lot to talk about in August. There's not a lot to talk about in August, so the media is eating this up because they're hungry.
Yep. Well, you know, the other alternative, you know, there's two other ways that Rove could deal with this issue. One is to create some kind of a major international incident.
Mm.
And the other, do you remember the World Trade Organization protests in Seattle a few years back?
Yes.
You remember all of the black vans full of black masked, black clothed anarchists that mysteriously showed up, started trouble, and then disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
Well, clearly those were operatives. Those were anarchists.
It's going to be. They're going to have a hard. I think it's going to be a harder way to infiltrate what's going on here.
I really hope so.
I think it's going to be harder to infiltrate, but nonetheless, discussed. I'm sure they're discussing it right now. Thanks a lot, Ben.
You take care.
All right, 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Hi, my sister Liz. How are you?
What's on your mind?
Well, did you see into this morning's news? I downloaded it. It was a letter from the family from this lady down at Crawford, and they are totally against her. They're saying in their letter they totally disagree with her political motives and her publicity stunts. Are they the parents?
Are they the parents of Casey?
The grandparents, aunts, uncles, and nieces and nephews.
It's all over the news. Are they the parents of Casey?
No, but they know their daughter is nutty.
Okay, so you have parents that are coming out to the media and using
saying my daughter's stupid.
Those are the words that are used in the letters that you're talking about. That's your stuff.
At the expense of her son's good name, she's out there.
Okay, so you know what that means? That means that we live in a country where all kinds of people are entitled and able to say what they want to say. And you know what else? I think that those letters from her family are going to have very, very little impact on this story, because the fact of the matter is that regardless of what someone's mother or father assesses of what they do, because George Bush's mama says that she's doing a great job, and how nutty is that?
I think they know she has a problem.
Well, again, George Bush's mother says that he's doing a good job, and that's nutty. But that has nothing to do what she says about his job has nothing to that has nothing to do with the fact of what George Bush says. It's what George Bush says that we need to pay attention to, and it is what Cindy Sheehan says about her son that needs to be paid attention to. And I also understand, and I appreciate this, Michelle, because there are a lot of people out there that are like you that are desperate to find
a
way.
That's why George Bush is in.
You cheat and you're desperate. Desperate people cheat. That's why that happened. And a lot of people out there that are desperate to find a way to personally attack parents and people who have lost a child in a war that we are in because George W. Bush lied. So I understand desperation, Michelle, and I feel for you I always will, Michelle, and work on that desperation, okay? My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. You need to stay with me. We'll be back after the news. Much, much, much more. You know, maybe Michelle will go out there and help George Bush lay another back road out of Crawford, because he needs some help with that. We'll be back. Stay with me.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember that.
+920 on your AM dial, WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Deirdre Bryant. What to make of a new terror threat? The source isn't very credible, but ABC's Jim Hickey says security experts don't want to take any chances.
The problem, as we have learned, it is difficult to know what is a real terror threat and what isn't. The FBI sent out alerts to three major cities warning of a possible terrorist attack with gasoline tanker trucks on this year's 9/11, just a month away. However, intelligence sources tell ABC News officials upstairs at Homeland Security are skeptical. Apparently, the informant is unreliable and a known liar. But while they regard info about a specific 9/11 attack bogus, intelligence chatter seems to indicate something may be in the works. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
Warnings were sent to New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago. The New York City Fire Department is due to release 15 hours of radio transmissions from 9/11 this morning. The New York Times has filed suit to get the tapes released. There are also 500 oral histories describing the rush to the World Trade Towers. 343 firefighters died that day. Oil soaring to new highs, crossing the $66 a barrel mark. ABC's Dan Arnell says traders worry about strong demand chasing limited supply.
We have less of a cushion today
than we had a year ago or 2 years ago or 3 years ago. And as supplies get tight, traders start bidding those prices up.
A number of airlines are adding fuel surcharges to the price of a ticket. Tens of thousands of British Airways passengers are stranded at London's Heathrow Airport. Ground crews walked off the job in a wildcat strike at the height of the summer tourist season. Passengers are not amused.
No one's actually telling you anything. It'd be dead easy just to make an announcement and say, look, the airport is closed, don't come near it.
Heathrow management warns the disruption could last for days. A fugitive couple from Tennessee is due in court in Columbus, Ohio this hour for an extradition hearing. Jennifer Hyatt, accused of helping her husband George escape from prison, a guard was shot and killed in the process. This is ABC News.
Open your eyes to one great day of savings. Kohl's Super Saturday. What makes it even more super? Kohl's Early Bird Specials. That means extra super savings, 7 a.m. till noon only. On everything from apparel to shoes to kitchen electrics. Plus great deals all day on hundreds of items throughout the store. It's one Super Saturday. So get here early. Kohl's Super Saturday is this Saturday, 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Kohl's. Expect great things.
Millions of miles, thousands of TV appearances, hundreds of baseball games, 80 years of history, and a fleet of Goodyear blimps all add up to one big celebration. The Goodyear Blimp Birthday Celebration, with sky-high savings on some of Goodyear's most popular tires. Plus, get up to an $80 rebate on a qualifying purchase. Offers end August 27th. Call 1-800-GOODYEAR for complete details and the participating retailer nearest you. Goodyear. For 80 years, it's been the name everyone looks up to. Mail-in rebate offer subject to credit approval. Restrictions apply.
NASA has successfully launched the Mars Orbiter. It will circle the red planet for 4 years, gathering unparalleled amounts of information. A blue state with the bluest of blue cities, ABC's Alex Stone reports.
Voters in the San Francisco Bay Area have long been considered relatively liberal, but a new study from the Center for Voting Research says San Francisco is the most liberal area in the country, followed by Detroit and Gary, Indiana. The researchers looked at voting patterns in 237 American cities. Overall, the study found liberal areas tended to have large populations of single adults and African Americans. Alex Stone, ABC News.
A world away in West Allis, Wisconsin, a mooing contest at the state fair.
Moo, 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 moo.
Not bad. The event billed as Moolapalooza awarded free milk and up to $500 in prizes. Deirdre Bryant, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, St. Peter's police and the FBI are investigating a bank robbery late yesterday afternoon. Authorities say the U.S. Bank at One Harvester Square in St. Peter's was robbed at approximately 4:15 by a 40 to 50-year-old man. The unknown suspect fled in a car. Anyone with information is asked to call the FBI at 314-231-4324 or the St. Peter's Police Department at 636-278-2222. A St. Louis University political science professor says there is a simple message behind this week's videotape from Al-Qaeda. Jean-Robert Legay-Fayou says the message is simply, "We are still here."
We have been waging a very prolonged campaign against them, and we regularly announce that we have captured so-and-so and we're after so-and-so. They want to put us on notice that they are still around and they are still training more people to become terrorists.
The new tape features a masked man who claims to be Khalid el-Sheikh of the previously unheard-of Missile Brigade. The man speaks perfect English with what appears to be an Australian accent and threatens, quote, "As you kill us, you will be killed. As you bomb us, you will be bombed." For most drivers across the country, it will come as no surprise that gas prices have surged in the past week. This week's Metro Source Price at the Pump survey shows the national average for self-serve regular unleaded jumped 10 cents over the past week to $2.41 a gallon. Premium prices also spiked, going up 9 cents to $2.59. Oil prices have reached record levels at just under $66 a barrel. San Diego continues its stranglehold on the nation's highest gas price. The city has had the highest average every week since June 23rd. This week's average price in San Diego is up 8 cents to $2.74. That's almost 60 cents more than the average of $2.17 in Greenville, South Carolina. That city has the nation's lowest price, even though it's 7 cents higher than last week. The six highest prices are all in California. Finally this hour, Rams cornerback Jeremetrius Butler may need surgery on his injured right knee, according to this morning's St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Butler has a torn posterior cruciate ligament in the knee, and head coach Mike Martz says Butler can either choose to strengthen the knee and play through the pain, or undergo surgery which would keep him out all season. Butler sustained the injury back on July 28th, the first day of training camp, and he will seek additional medical options before making a decision. He led the Rams with 5 interceptions last season. This WGNU News report is brought to you by Wartner, the freezing wart remover. An innocent wart? Hardly. Wart spread. Treat them fast. Wartner freezes warts in a single treatment. Outdated treatments take up to 12 weeks. Nothing treats warts faster or more effectively than Wartner. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
WGNU News time is 9:07, and time for our final look at traffic brought to you by J.C. Penney. Southbound 170 at Brentwood and U.S. Highway 40, there's road maintenance going on, and the right lane is closed there. Eastbound 70 at the Blanchette Bridge, construction underway. The right lane is closed. Crews are finishing up the work out there. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit, Broadway, that's closed this morning. Westbound 64 between Laclede Station and Hanley, traffic is starting to get better now. Shota at Compton, the traffic lights are out of service there. Clayton at McCausland, the traffic lights not working there either. Highway 40 between Tucker and 14th Street, bridge construction underway, 2 lanes are closed, look for some backups there. In both directions on Highway 21, between U.S. Highway 67 and Gravoy, road paving going on there. I-44 at Jameson, bridge work going on there, construction underway, and lane closures will follow. In both directions, Natural Bridge between Air Flight and I-70, road work is underway there. And I-44 between Highway 185 and St. Clair, road construction underway. The left lane is closed there. 55 between Russell and Arsenal, road work going on there. Closures of various lanes. The J.C. Penney 2-day sale going on today and tomorrow. The entire stock of Arizona tops or bottoms. Buy one, get one for just a dollar. All inside J.C. Penney. 9 minutes past 9 o'clock, the WGNU weather forecast is calling for hot and humid conditions again today, a chance for some scattered showers this afternoon, high temperature in the lower 90s, heat index to be over 100 degrees this afternoon. Partly cloudy with a few scattered showers possible tonight, low in the 70s. Tomorrow, partly sunny with a chance of rain, the high near 90. 81 degrees here at WGNU. We have a look at the healthy family, and then we're coming back with healthy futures here on WGNU.
The Healthy Family with Julie Anderson, sponsored by the Missouri Division of Alcohol and Drug Abuse, asking you to put out that cigarette before it becomes a deadly habit. To learn more, call 800-575-7480.
If there's a fountain of youth, does it offer only one way to stay young? No, it offers a number of ways of feeling younger and staying younger than our chronological age. More coming up on The Healthy Family.
Arsenic, rubber cement, ammonia, and formaldehyde, which is used to embalm dead bodies. I'll bet you didn't know this, but in addition to nicotine, cigarettes contain these toxic ingredients. Cigarettes don't just harm the smoker, but also affect non-smokers. Smoking-related diseases claim an estimated 430,000 American lives each year. By contrast, almost 57,000 Americans lost their lives during the Vietnam War. So, do you still want that cigarette? Is that your final answer? A message from the Missouri Division of Alcohol and Drug Abuse.
When you talk to your kids, you have to remember they're not miniature adults. They're kids, just kids. Gum-chewing, mess-making, goofy kids. So let them be kids. We're the parents. We keep them away from violent TV and video games. And spend some time with the children, you know? Remember, They'll be taking care of you when you're old someday. After all, what goes around comes around.
For more information, call 1-800-CHILDREN.
When I grow up, I want to be young. Our society seems obsessed with youth. But as those so-called baby boomers age, there seems to be a growing acceptance of growing older. Many of us are fighting to not look old, act old, or feel old. So what pearls of wisdom come from the true fountain of youth? It starts with taking care of ourselves. Exercising our bodies and our brains is crucial to keeping fit. Even with physical disabilities, there are many opportunities to get moving. Keep your brain exercised by reading, learning a new activity, playing games that make you think. Studies show there can be links between passive brains and Alzheimer's disease and dementia as a person ages. What else speeds up aging and should be avoided? Well, smoking, illegal drug use, high alcohol consumption, eating a high fat and overprocessed diet. So it goes without saying, do without them if you want to stay healthy and young. To keep your skin healthy and young, it's a good idea to keep yourself hydrated, drinking at least 8 glasses of clean water a day. Also, make sure you get your antioxidants, vitamins A, beta-carotene, vitamin C, and vitamin E. Avoid overexposure to the sun. Use a sunscreen that protects against UVA and UVB rays. If you don't take the number seriously and appreciate all life has to offer, you'll never have to feel old, even if your kids, like my son, insist that you are. I'm Julie Anderson with The Healthy Family.
The Healthy Family with Julie Anderson. Brought to you by the Missouri Division of Alcohol and Drug Abuse. Learn more about today's topic by visiting us online at HealthyFamilyRadio.com.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears. 3425 Union. Black-owned and black-operated. Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top 6 appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union. Jerome Williams,
389-9700. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
It's time once again for Healthy Futures, the weekly radio program that provides you with information on how to take better care of yourself and live a more healthy life. Remember, good health truly is in your own hands. And now, Healthy Futures with Liz Brown and our guest for this week.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to this is Healthy Futures. I am Liz Brown. And as we begin, as we always begin, we are doing our, it is Friday, it's Healthy Futures, welcome, welcome.
Thank you, Liz.
Talk to us about where we always begin.
Again, I'd just like to give thanks for the listening audience taking the time to talk with us and hear some of the information to increase awareness about some of the health issues that we're having in the health community in St. Louis. Like always, we always give thanks to Support a Child International and Eternity Deli for sponsoring this event, and I have some additional announcements. We've talked about prostate cancer for men before in the past. At Eternity Deli on August the 13th from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m., the Men's Health Coalition will be presenting health awareness seminar looking at prostate cancer. And they're going to have an open discussion on how prevalent this disease is, because it kills over 31,000 men every year. But not only that, but come to learn some practical methods to prevent this slow-growing disease.
Very good.
And also want to remind the listening community about the Fisher Wellness Center. They're hosting their grand opening event on August the 27th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. They're located at 11634 West Florissant. That's 11634. For more information, call 837-9777. And also on that day, Liz, we're going to be doing Healthy Futures. We're doing a health and wellness seminar starting at 10 o'clock for the community. So we've talked about doing these things. We've been encouraged to do them by you, and so that will be the first one at the Fisher Wellness Center.
Excellent. And also, I just I don't know that you're prepared to talk about this morning, but there's a little cooking preparation class thing going on at Eternity Deli too.
Yes. We're going to schedule the first cooking series in September.
Okay.
So by next week, I have all of the details for you. And again, it's our practical way of saying to the community, okay, we talk about a lot of issues, we talk about what needs to be done, but we want to provide an avenue and a venue for people to actually come out and learn how to make this transition. And so we're going to break the classes up into specific classes. We're going to do desserts. We're going to do tofu. We're going to do grains. We're going to do all different kinds of things. We're going to do cooking classes for children. Mm-hmm. And so we want to be able to, everything that we've talked about, actually give the community some place to come and be one of the venues where these things can be learned effectively.
Learn how to do that.
Learn
very
how to do
good.
It.
So what's our topic today, Ms. Linda?
Today we're going to be talking about dental care. And I think it's a topic, Liz, that we kind of take for granted. We take it for granted. We think that our oral health has nothing to do with our physical overall health.
Mm-hmm.
And we have two guests today who's going to help us to understand that there is a direct correlation between what goes on in our mouths and our whole working bodies. And sometimes our ability to feel good or to be in good health is directly related to what's going on in our mouths.
Absolutely.
And so we're going to talk about that today.
Okay, well then let's start this discussion. We have Dr. Cheryl Lee. She is joining us from Washington, D.C.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Dr. Lee, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
Good morning.
And we also have Dr. Fisher joining us here from St. Louis. Dr. Fisher, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I am very good. I guess we kind of need to start at the beginning, huh, Miss Linda?
Yes. First of all, I'd like to thank both of the doctors for joining us this morning. Dr. Perdita Fisher has been with us on a number of occasions before, but we've never really put her in her rightful place as a dentist in the community. So she's here representing the dental community today. But today for Dr. Lee, we'd like to begin talking about the importance of dental care and how what we eat and how we eat, the foods that we eat, affect the teeth.
Okay. Again, good morning. I guess I'd just first start by saying that well, the foods that we eat are extremely important in the health of our teeth. And in today's society, we consume entirely too much sugar. There is sugar found in almost all of the products that we purchase. And the problem with the sugars that we consume is that it's been extremely processed and it's depleted of any type of nutrients. And what happens when we consume sugars, the natural bacteria that's found in the mouth, once the sugar enters into the mouth, it creates an acid. And if we know about any types of acids, battery acids, if acid sits on any type of surface too long, it burns. And with sugars, once sugar enters into the mouth, the acid will remain in the mouth for 20 minutes. And we tend to sip on sodas for hours at a time. So you can imagine what happens once the teeth begin to bathe in acid over a long period of time.
And doctor, one of the things that I think, since we're talking about soda and sugar and all of that, I don't think that people realize that there are different acidity qualities to the different types of sodas that we drink. There are some sodas that are just almost right next door to battery acid.
Right.
Well,
and Coke products are one of those.
The typical soda has, and this is in a 12-ounce can, and majority of the consumers don't even drink 12 ounces anymore. It's far more than that, but in a 12-ounce can of soda, there are 16 teaspoons of sugar.
Mm-hmm.
So you can imagine the effects, the ill effects that it has on the teeth, and that's how dental decay begins. And you see, because you talk about the acidity and the acidity of the mouth. The mouth has to be in a more acidic environment for the teeth to decay, and that's what those sodas and the candies and even peanut butter, and you just, when you look at the labels, everything has sugar in it. Some of the vegetables now that, you know, that they sell have, especially the canned ones, will have sugar in them.
And this can be found by looking at the labels, right, Dr.
Right.
Fisher?
Yes, it's very important, as we always say, too. Read the labels, because the ingredients are listed on the labels, and they're listed in terms of what's first is what there is more of in that product, and we have to leave the labels because we, as Dr. Lee talked about, sugar is almost in everything, especially our processed foods have high sugar and salt contents. And I just wanted to add to about carbohydrates, our breads, because in the mouth, they break down into simple sugars. And the more, you know, if we notice, if you hold a piece of bread in your mouth for a long period of time before chewing it and swallowing it, you can just begin to taste the sweetness from it. And that can be something that you could just try for yourself and see, because the mouth has an enzyme that begins to break down the starch into simple sugars. And so we have to be careful also, and watch our consumption of carbohydrate and bread products,
and most of them
also have additional sugars added.
And that kind of explains, I think, that because those of us like myself, that I rarely eat candy, I rarely drink I don't drink soda at all, but I love me some carbohydrates, and that kind of explains why, because it's got that sugar thing in it too.
Right, right. It breaks down to sugars, and so we hold it in there, and we keep stuffing more and more in our mouths before we even really chew it, and then we don't realize the effects that it's breaking down to sugar.
Potato chips.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, yeah. So let's talk about the fighting of this, how we brush and floss. How do we do that and explain and elaborate on the importance of this?
Are you referring to me?
Yes, Dr. Lee.
Well, ideally, you should brush and floss after every meal. But practicing for so many years, we know that that's not going to happen. When you do brush your teeth, there is a method in which we recommend that you brush. And that's when you actually brush in a circular motion. It's not an up and down and just a back and forth type of thing. And the other thing is you need to brush for a minimum of 3 minutes. Most patients that we treat are in and out of the mouth in 30 seconds or less. It's impossible to brush all of the surfaces of the teeth in that short amount of time. And then you need to floss. And you can take floss with you and floss after every meal, because a lot of times dental decay will begin between the teeth because food becomes impacted between the teeth and it begins to rot and it begins to decay those surfaces of the teeth. So it's very, very important to floss, and I personally recommend unwaxed floss. Mm-hmm. Over the wax floss, and it's just because it's a cleaner type of surface.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just a personal preference. They both work. I just don't enjoy wax.
And in terms of the amount of time that we brush our teeth, I think parents really need to know that, because that's something that parents don't emphasize with their kids.
And the other thing is, they sell different types of toothbrushes. They sell soft, medium, and hard. And the majority of the patients feel that hard toothbrushes are better. But that hard abrasiveness is not healthy for the gums, and it's not healthy for the actual enamel on the teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And, it'll increase sensitivity over the years. Soft bristles tend to bend. And the tooth is not straight. It has a curvature to it. So those brushes, when they bend, will help to clean the teeth far better than the ones that have those hard bristles.
And this is for both of you. Is there any need for anyone to buy a toothbrush that has hard bristles?
Unless they're cleaning their shoes.
In the bathroom.
Or the bathroom, or scrubbing tile ground out of the shower.
Perfect for that.
That's
scrubbing gum
that's really the only thing that a hard brush needs to be used for.
I guess we got a consensus on that.
Right. I want to add about brushing, though, that we make sure that we aim the bristle of the brush at the gum line, because that's where gingivitis or gum disease starts. And many times, as she talked about, most people just hurry in, brush their teeth side to side, and they don't get the gum line. And we don't get the tongue either, and bacteria also collects on the tongue.
How about the roof of the mouth?
Under the tongue, roof of the mouth.
Mm-hmm. We need to get all of those surfaces. And with a soft toothbrush, we can do that without damaging the surface of the tongue or the roof of the mouth.
And we have to take a break right now. We are talking to two dentists, Dr. Lee and Dr. Fisher, and we're talking about the importance of dental care. This is our Healthy Futures segment of the Wake Up Call. And before we go to our break, I do want to talk about Eternity Deli. You need to get on over to Eternity Deli, the best vegetarian food. They have a soul food buffet every single Friday. I mean, every single day. And Friday is lasagna day. I'm into the eggplant lasagna now. It is so good. Get on over to Eternity Deli, 11 South Euclid, right there in the Central West End. Get on over there, try it out. Do something good for your body. Do something good for your teeth. And if you're not going to brush, I think your teeth would prefer not brushing after cauliflower than after a bag of chips.
Right.
We're going to take a break, folks. We'll be back. the place to shop for all your appliance needs? Sears. 3425 Union. Black-owned and black-operated. Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
You're planning your wedding. You've got stars sparkling in your eyes, wedding bells ringing in your ears, and butterflies dancing in your stomach. Relax, that dream come true wedding can be yours. Just visit the exclusive Bridal Fest Saturday the 13th of August from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sunday, August 14th from noon to 6 at St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. No need to rush all over town when you can check out the best in the area's bridal and party industry all at one handy location. See the newest fashions. Get everything you need to make your wedding an event to remember. While you're there, register for an opportunity to win thousands of dollars in gifts and prizes. One entry per bride-to-be, please. Entertainment all weekend long, and it's free. The exclusive Bridal Fest, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. Saturday, August the 13th, and noon to 6, Sunday the 14th. Get details at www.sbcshows.com or call 618-236-6926. Sponsored in part by Patty Cakes of Highland, Night Magic Entertainment, and Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920, WGNU. This is a Specialized Promotional Concepts production.
This is Healthy Futures, the weekly radio program that provides information on how to take better care of your own health. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome back. I'm here with Ms. Linda McKirkland, and we are talking about your teeth, dental care, and the connection to our health with two guests, Dr. Cheryl Lee and Dr. Padilla Fisher, and we're talking about our teeth. I'd like to come back to you again, Dr. Lee. Talk about the effects on the lack of dental care on other systems and parts of our body.
Yes. Well, with the lack of dental care, first thing, like we said earlier, was the dental decay, and without proper care or proper treatment of the teeth, you will ultimately lose teeth. And in the other aspect, lack of proper dental care, you will have ill effects on the gums, and you'll get gum disease of the layman's term or the long term people understand as pyorrhea of the gums, and will cause the teeth to loosen over time, causing you to lose teeth. And what will eventually happen, without the proper number of teeth, you aren't able to chew your food properly. And with a full complement of teeth, you should chew your food a minimum of 25 times before you swallow. And that gives you the opportunity to grind the food properly and to also mix your food with the saliva in your mouth, which Dr. Fisher mentioned earlier about the enzymes. Your food begins to break down in the mouth before it reaches the stomach, so your body is not taxed as hard in digesting your food. But when you can't digest your food properly, that food begins to sit, it begins to rot, and where it usually sits the longest is within the colon. And it's been proven that all of the diseases that occur in the body occurs, it begins in the colon. So without proper digestion, you begin to get sick. And before I forget, we can move on to the other diseases. I talked about chewing the food. One point that everyone always misses is that you should also chew your juice. And the way you do that is you hold that juice within your mouth and you swish it around as if you're getting ready to rinse your teeth. And you mix that juice with the saliva so it will begin to break down.
Really?
Prior to your swallowing it, yes. And we tend to chug our juices down.
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
Yes.
Is that for?
You have to mix it with your saliva in order for your body to be able to get the fullness of the benefits that you're trying to get.
What kind of juice are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about 100% juice.
Okay.
Fresh
mm-hmm.
juices, you know, because you need to, again, read the labels because you have a lot of... The way you know whether it's juice or not is it can never say juice drink and it can never say cocktail. When you see those two words, you already know that it's probably 10% juice, maybe 20%, but the rest is 80% sugar water.
Mm. Or also concentrated.
Right, concentrated juices. But you should drink the ones not from concentrate, and or especially juice bar drinks that are made fresh because the juices begin to lose their potency after 30 minutes. 30 minutes after they've been juiced, they start losing.
Okay. So can we move to the other health issues then, please?
Yes. The other thing that I wanted to bring up is the bacteria that they found in periodontal disease now, they are linking it to heart disease.
Mm.
They're finding that same bacteria within the valves of the heart. So it's really pertinent that you seek dental treatment. And, you know, for years they said to visit your dentist twice a year. But as we know, diseases, things can happen within 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
So 6 months is too long, but you see, we've allowed the insurance companies have dictated to us that you can only have your teeth cleaned twice a year. So that's what we are seeming to be bound by.
Well, bound by, we think that we are. That is what we're supposed to be doing.
Right.
How many times should we be visiting our dentist?
At least four times
four
a year.
Times
every
a year.
3 months.
That's almost every quarter of
yes.
the year.
And I have a quick question about plaque removal rinse. Is that worth the money? Okay, I'm here laughing.
Right, because there was a study that was out, and, you know, without calling any names about the plaque rinses, the thing is, the study was done that if you rinsed your mouth for 30 seconds with water prior to brushing your teeth, it would also remove 150 times more plaque than just brushing alone.
And some of that stuff is sweet, too.
I don't know
flavor.
What the content of it. So it would be some artificial sweetener, and that's a whole other topic in itself about the artificial sweeteners because of the different chemical makeups of the sweeteners.
And in terms of the other ways to we only have a few minutes here, so I kind of would like to move to the natural methods mm-hmm. for caring for our teeth.
You know, they have a whole lot of natural products on the market today. The one thing that I want to do before we do close up, because it's kind of deceiving sometimes, and you really need to read the labels again, but toothpaste that have white oak bark in it, white oak bark, that is a known herbal remedy to help regenerate bone. You can brush with it. You can pack it under the gums because it comes in a powder form, and you can also take it internally.
Mm.
That's one product that's found in natural toothpaste. The other thing that I want to stress is there's an ingredient that's found in both natural toothpaste and in the other toothpaste, and it's called sodium lauryl sulfate. Sodium lauryl sulfate that's in natural toothpaste comes from coconut. That's the source of it. But in the regular toothpaste, it's the same ingredient that you find in battery acid and in brake fluid.
Wow.
And antifreeze.
Huh?
So you need to be very, very careful. It's also found in cake mixes, and it's found in some salad dressing.
Huh?
So we tend to wonder why we are getting sick, and a lot of times it's just from what we put on our toothbrushes. And one other thing.
And what's the name of that product one more time? Because I know people say, what's the name of that product?
Okay, it's sodium, S-O-D-I-U-M. The second word is laurel, L-A-U-R-Y-L, and the last word is sulfate.
Wow.
And so you'll see it. If you can go in your bathroom right now and look at that tube of toothpaste that you have, and I can almost guarantee you that it's going to be in there. And the last thing I want to mention about that toothpaste, you see, because most of the toothpastes have fluoride in it. And that fluoride, if you really do research, the fluoride, yes, it does strengthen the teeth, but there's so many other effects that the fluoride causes in the body. And because fluoride is actually a waste byproduct from aluminum processing. And we tend to, you know, they've linked aluminum to Alzheimer's, and so this is a waste byproduct. And if you go to an aluminum processing plant or if you're ever around there, nothing will grow within a one-mile radius of an aluminum processing.
So then we don't need to buy toothpaste that has fluoride in it.
No, it's not necessary. If you do proper brushing and proper flossing and minimize the intake of sugar, there is no need for that fluoride.
Okay, I can barely go on here. So, in terms of the other natural products that we should be using, are there any other recommendations, Dr. Fisher?
Yeah, basically, if we stick to the food products and we use a natural toothbrush, a toothpaste, a soft toothbrush, and the dental floss, then, you know, we're pretty much covered as long as we include visiting the dentist on a regular, frequent, consistent basis, which we tend not to do because, as Dr. Lee says, there are many things that begin to happen in the mouth that are indicators of something else going on in the body, and we're able to pick it up first. But because we go so infrequently, we miss those things, and by the time they come up, it, you know, becomes harder for us to treat and to diagnose and to make other recommendations.
What about brushing with baking soda?
Baking soda is fine. You know, it's an abrasive, so, and that's pretty much why you use it. It just helps to remove the plaque, which is the precursor to both dental decay and gum disease. So it's been used over the years. They also have used hydrogen peroxide they mix it as a paste because the oxygen within the peroxide kills the bacteria that's detrimental to the bone and the surrounding structures in periodontal disease.
Okay, so that's okay?
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay. And there's one more question that's coming at me. Chewing sticks to clean teeth, what about that? Those chewing sticks that people chew on?
And the gum they have.
And the
actual
gum.
Chewing gum, yeah. That cleans too.
Right. But see, the thing about those items, there's nothing wrong with them. What it really does is stimulates the saliva.
Mm-hmm.
And the more that your saliva rinses the teeth, you know, the cleaner they will be. Because I don't know what is actually in those chewing sticks, but to my knowledge, there's nothing that's harmful.
And I'm going to have to let that be the last word. I want to thank you both, Dr. Lee and Dr. Fisher. You scared me, and I will be making four times a year appointments. Thank you so much for that wonderful information.
Thank you, ladies.
And we need to get to, of course, Ms. McKirkland. We need to get to our overview of the upcoming shows.
Right. For some topics for the upcoming show, we're going to be looking at stress meditation and massage therapy.
Excellent.
We're going to be looking at feng shui.
Oh, yeah.
What does that have to do with nutrition?
That's right.
We're going to tell
you. It's all connected.
We're going to be talking about acupuncture, iridology, PMS, menopause. Just a lot of different topics to just increase the awareness of things that we need to know about so we can make healthier lifestyle choices.
And in terms of our recognizing our sponsors?
Again, we'd like to thank Supported Child International and Eternity Daily for making this segment possible. And want to also remind you at Eternity Daily, August the 13th at 9 o'clock to 10 a.m., the Men's Health Coalition will be talking about prostate cancer. In addition to that, the Fisher Wellness Center will have their grand opening August the 27th from 10 to 2 at 11634 West Florissant. For more information, call area code 314-837-9777. And also on that day, Healthy Futures will be giving a health and wellness seminar at 10 a.m. And the quote for the week is, I will care for my teeth.
Four times a year.
At least.
I mean, four times a year. Four times a year.
Once a quarter.
Four times a year. And we need to get to one more caller here. Yes, Brandy. Brandy. Oh, okay, I guess Brandy left on. And before we go, we always have to say you need to get to Eternity Deli, the best food, the best place, the best way that you can start taking your health into your own hands. What we put in our mouth matters.
Absolutely.
With how we're going to live.
Absolutely.
and how we live effectively. And I do want to give everybody a heads up after the next break, we're going to be talking about soda and some more. This is a timely connection.
Yeah.
We've talked about our teeth. Now we're going to talk about soda and what it does.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be doing that with Dr. Carolyn Povian on children and our soda after this. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Liz.
And we will be back same time, same place next week.
Next week.
I've been told that we need to do cooking every week, so we'll talk about that after during the break. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with us.
Whoa. Oh, mercy me. All things ain't what they used to be now. Where did all the blue skies go? Poison is the wind that blows from the north to south and south. Oh, mercy, mercy me.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline London. British officials are floating a plan to set up secret courts in order to make it easier to prosecute terrorist suspects. The plan also calls for such suspects to be held without charge for longer than the current 14-day limit. The anti-terror courts would meet behind closed doors to study the cases against the suspects, rule on the evidence, and then decide how long they need to be held. The British Home Secretary, the American equivalent of Homeland Security, already has wide-ranging powers to exclude people from the country if he determines that their presence is not in the public good or for national security reasons. And Dateline New York. Activist Dick Gregory appeared on the Fox News talk show Hannity and Combs on Monday to explain remarks he made on Friday in Atlanta at the 40th anniversary celebration of the Voting Rights Act. Gregory was questioned as to why he called Republicans white racist thugs and why he called the United States the most dishonest, ungodly, unspiritual nation that has ever existed on the planet. Sean Hannity turned to his co-host to verify Gregory's words, and Gregory chopped him off by saying, quote, "You don't have to confirm what I said. I already said it, so I don't need no white boy to come on and say I said it." Hannity was shocked at being called a white boy and then asked Gregory if he wanted to apologize. Surprisingly, Gregory did so. Gregory has been criticized by black conservative groups all week because of the episode, including a member of Project 21, which called his remark a display of overt black racism, and his remarks about America were hypocritical since he made his fortune here. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
To me, summer is family time, a time to spend with the kids doing stuff we all love to do, which is why we go to Worlds of Fun. That and the fact that they have lots of coasters. Mamba, Timberwolf, Spinning Dragons, Boomerang. I like to ride them all. Of course, Worlds of Fun has stuff for the kids, too. Mine loved the new Peanuts Playhouse at Camp Snoopy. They played and played, took a little break, and then played and played some more. Then, if we need to cool off, we go to Oceans of Fun, where we ride the water slides, Typhoon and Diamond Head, and then the tube rides, Caribbean Cooler, Aruba Tuba, and Hurricane Falls. And finally, the wave pool. Another great thing is we can stay the night at the new Worlds of Fun Village Resort. Talk about easy.
Worlds of Fun and Oceans of Fun. Do one park or do both with the ride and slide ticket.
It's so cool.
Open daily. Make reservations for the new Worlds of Fun Village Resort or book your Joe Cool's Backyard Barbecue at worldsoffun.com.
Yeah. bottom of the whole affair. We got rocks and pebbles and gold in there. Let it shine on into the miry place.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is the phone number. In 2004, soda companies produced 37 gallons of carbonated non-diet soda for every man, woman, and child in America. They produced it. And we drank it. We need to talk about the cost and the impact of this amount of soda on our society, on our health, on our future. Well, we're going to facilitate that conversation. I have joining me this morning Dr. Carolyn Apovian, and to talk about the impact of the soda on our children. Dr. Apovian, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
Doing great.
37 gallons for every man, woman, and child. What are we talking about caloric-wise?
60,000 calories, empty calories with no nutrient value except sugar.
That's just breathtaking.
I agree.
Were you surprised when the numbers came back to you that it was that much?
I wasn't surprised because if you think about it, we don't see soda for what it is, which is liquid candy.
Mm.
No, that's what CSPI is calling it, and they're right.
Mm.
We know a candy bar when we see it. We know we're not supposed to be eating that candy bar unless it's a special occasion. But when we see soda, non-diet soda, we think we can have it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Mm.
It's not seen as a candy bar, which we know as candy and junk food. But soda is just part of our lives.
It is liquid candy.
It is.
So what is it that should be, that we should be doing, given the fact that we need to reconfigure how everybody views this thing that is now part of most Americans' breakfast, lunch, and dinner?
Education, education, education. We need to educate parents that they should not be providing non-diet soda to their children, that they should be providing milk and maybe fruit juice instead of that soda, because they'll
100% fruit juice.
100% fruit juice, not the 10% fruit juice stuff that is full of sugar as well.
Additional candy.
That's additional candy, absolutely. And so parents have to read food labels, the label on the product, and see how much sugar is in that product, and see what nutrients are in there.
And in terms of what. A lot of our education that we get, a lot of the knowledge that we get about the things that we put into our body comes to us based upon what's on the label of the package, and what's on the label of the package is determined by what the government says should be on the label of the package. Soda doesn't have anything on it that tells you what's wrong with it.
That's right, and that's why I think we petitioned the FDA to put something on soda cans that says that this may, drinking too much non-diet soda may contribute to weight gain. We have an epidemic of obesity in this country. Children, adolescents, and adults are much bigger than they used to be. And in adults, it's 64% of the population. In kids, it's 15%. Kids shouldn't be overweight at all. They should be running around eating healthy food, and they should be thin and muscular. And we've got fat kids.
And
sitting watching TV and guzzling soda.
And not only do we have kids drinking liquid candy and grown-ups drinking liquid candy all day long, they've turned liquid candy almost into a toy. When you can open up the lid of a bottle of soda and win a prize.
Right. It's unconscionable. It should be stopped. So not only does it cause weight gain, so we should have a label on it stating that it may provoke obesity and contribute to obesity, but it also causes tooth decay, and many sodas have caffeine in them, and kids shouldn't be drinking caffeine.
You wouldn't, I mean, most parents would bristle at the thought of sitting their six-year-old down and plunking a cup of coffee in front of him. It would just be, no, I would never do anything like that.
Right.
But plunking a Mountain Dew in front of him is worse than a cup of coffee. They should be drinking coffee.
That's right. And I don't think parents, and some parents don't really know that or don't really realize it. So it's just this air of complacency in this country that it's okay to be drinking Coke or Mountain Dew or whatever, or Sprite. People drink Coke for breakfast, you know.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. And they sell frozen Cokes at the 7-Elevens.
And you can buy a 2-liter bottle of Coke for a dollar in the gas stations. So it's cheap, and it's being made to be cheap so that people buy it.
And the other part of it also is that when you've said many, many times during our short conversation, sugar, 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 sugar. What is the amount of sugar in a can of soda that most people don't realize or absorb?
It's 200 to 250 calories worth of sugar, which you don't need. So it's like taking in a candy bar, not the big candy bars, but it's still like taking in a candy bar. Now, when you take in a candy bar, you know you've had some sugar, right?
Absolutely.
You know you've cheated and you had that candy bar. When you drink a can of soda,
you don't even think.
You don't realize.
You don't think once about it.
Right.
And one of the other components that you want to put on the government, the FDA, put on the soda can is that drinking soft drinks instead of milk or calcium fortified beverages may increase your risk of brittle bones.
That's right. And
because
we haven't seen the tip of the iceberg yet because these are kids who when we were young, we were drinking milk.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're drinking soda. What's going to happen to them when they hit 30, 40, and 50, we're going to see more osteoporosis because they're not taking in their calcium.
So the FDA has been asked to do this. Where are we at the stage of what the FDA is going to do?
Well, we don't know what they're going to do yet. I guess they're evaluating the evidence. I hope that they see clearly that they need to do this. But we petitioned the FDA. With the help, CSPI is spearheading this, the Center for Science and the Public Interest, Mike Jacobson. And I got on the bandwagon and spoke to the press several weeks ago, along with Mike Jacobson. And, we did get some press time about it, and I hope the FDA will listen to us and look at the evidence. There's a lot of studies showing clearly that kids who drink more soda gain more weight.
A friend of mine has diabetes, and he's told me, he said, you know what, I think there should be a warning label on a box of sugar. Because the fact of the matter is that sugar is the culprit here, the refined sugar that's in everything.
Yes, and it's the sugar that you don't realize isn't food and beverage that's the problem. You know, if a bag of sugar, you know that's sugar. Again, a dessert, you know that's sugar, but it's the hidden sugar that people are taking in with every meal that's the problem, and I think soda is one of the biggest. 7% of all calories in the American diet come from soft drinks. Okay?
That's got to be the last word. I'm sorry. Dr. Carolyn Apovian, where can people find out more information about this?
They can look on the Center for the Science and the Public Interest website.
And that
FBI. And then they can also ask for a copy of Liquid Candy by tuning into the website.
Very
FBI.
Very good. Dr. Carolyn Apovian, thank you so much for joining us on the Wake Up Call.
Thank you for inviting me, Liz.
My pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Listen, folks, have a great weekend. No Liquid Candy. I'll be back same time, same place on Monday. Stay strong.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Both say they want to fight extradition and will remain in Ohio for another month. The guard, Wayne Morgan, will be buried today. His